about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Great moments are born from great opportunities. That's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you earned here tonight. One game. If we play them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Well, you want to know what cool is? Cool is a tight herringbone tweed. And cool is being confident in yourself and never letting anyone else define who you are. Unless that person has a cool hat or is a better race than you. In which case, copy everything they do until you feel comfortable enough to murder them and take their place.
And now,
there's no drugs or alcohol involved.
Unless you count the intoxicating effects of music, and I know we do.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 18th of August.
Sup? Tapping. Sup? Snoo.
Snoo?
Yeah. What's up? What's happening? What's new?
Not much.
It's not much indeed.
It's not much.
Okay.
I see what you did.
Are you still tingling over our visitor yesterday, Allie?
I loved him so much.
I sense you fell very deeply in love with a 75-year-old man yesterday,
really,
which a lot of people
did.
Would not have predicted.
I really did, and it was disturbing because a friend of mine said after, she's like, was he as charismatic in person? And I said, no, it was just more so on the radio. Of course!
Yeah.
He was amazing, but what a hot 75. Am I right, Kevin?
You're right.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this, Sir Patrick Stewart, and that is, going into the interview, of course, we were all fans, but I sense that there was a little bit of an ick factor in your mind to the fact that he had a 39-year-old wife or whatever.
I think 37.
37, okay.
Yeah.
Now that you've partied with Sir Patrick.
I get it.
Have we partied with him?
Absolutely we partied.
All right.
So now you in your minds, even if you hadn't articulated it, you were thinking, well, she just married him because he's rich and famous. Now that you've met him, do you see why a 37-year-old woman would want to be married to a 75-year-old man?
Without question.
I want to marry him.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Yeah. And then here's the thing. I now follow him on Twitter, and he posted a picture in the jacuzzi last night drinking a margarita. And I was like, all right.
All right.
Okay.
It's rare that you expect something out of a celebrity. It's pretty. Your expectations are pretty high. Mm-hmm. And they just crush them.
Yeah.
He was great.
He was a wonderful man.
And I guess this was a conversation you must have had with him off air, Kevin, because I saw your tweet yesterday about it. So he's a big baseball fan? I saw your tweet about his show Bunt Talk, and I assumed it felt like maybe you guys had a conversation about the fine art of baseball.
No, I think he's a chef. He's a chef, and he makes bunt cakes.
Oh, does he?
I did. I put Bunt Talk.
Bunt Talk, and I thought, well, that's interesting.
That happened. Yeah.
Speaking of bunting,
and then somebody tweeted me and said, "You're an idiot," and I went back and looked at it. I was like, "Yep, sure enough, reposted it."
Speaking of bunting, there is a scandal in the Little League World Series going on right now in Portland, Oregon. This is Little League World Series for girls, apparently.
39-year-old made the squad.
Allie, you're going to love this so much because your beloved New England Patriots are not the only cheaters who cheat, because apparently the Little League team from Snohomish, Washington is also a big cheating team. Here's what happened is apparently they threw a game on purpose so that they would not have to face a team that they had had trouble playing earlier in the season or in the tournament. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So the Snohomish squad from Washington is really good. I don't see the numbers I saw here earlier, but they've just been obliterating everybody on their way to the championship, except for the team from Central Iowa that they squeaked by, winning 4-3. So the way the brackets worked out, they knew they would have to play them again if they won the game against North Carolina yesterday. So they threw the game against North Carolina yesterday. It was an 8-0 loss. They sent the coach apparently benched all of the starters and ordered every player to bunt in an attempt to lose the game, which they did. Again, they lost 8-0.
One will figure that out.
Yeah, don't you at least try to hide it?
Wow.
Really?
I mean, I guess what they did, they could argue, was legal because they were still playing by the rules of the game.
Right.
But you're right. It seems like you are demanding an investigation,
yeah.
right? And that is exactly what happened is Iowa went to the Little League Softball World Series, who did not overturn the outcome of the controversial game. So they appealed to the governing body, the Little League International, and that ruling did overturn the game that was thrown. And now Iowa and Washington have to play at 11 o'clock this morning, the winner moving on to the semifinals. So, Kevin, when we've had these conversations about throwing games before, and I'm thinking in particular when we get in the last 2 months of a Lakers season and they're out, and you sometimes argue, hey, they should try to lose now because there's no advantage to winning games and just having a worse draft next year.
Yeah, if you're not going to make the playoffs at all, you're not even close to making the playoffs, then you do want the higher draft pick, and so maybe you tank. I don't know. I'm not completely comfortable with it.
I know I'm not either, because I think you should play to win every game if you're a professional athlete.
But this is playing to go further. It's not just you're not just throwing it to throw it.
But can you excuse this as just strategy? Look, we're just going to do it because ultimately we think we're going to go further in the tournament if we don't have to face that team that is tough on us.
I think that's a sad state of affairs. And you're basically telling your girls, listen, I don't think you're going to win if you play this team early on. Let's throw it.
But if you tell them that, then are they going to win later on if they play that team? You know what I mean? They're going to face that team.
But would they advance if...
See, that's what we don't know. They were just looking for the path of least resistance. As they were, look, we know we can beat this team. This team's a little tougher. Let's play this team if we can. And it didn't work out for them. But I think it's a I'm with Ali. I think it's a terrible message to send to kids. But I think the same message is a terrible message to send to adults as well.
I'm saying do it better. I mean, really? You got to play none of your starters and everyone's going to bunt?
Also a good point.
Come on.
Also, be better at cheating.
Yes.
Come
make
on.
Make it look.
Snowmanish. Where are you? Squamish?
Snowmanish.
Snowmanish.
So, in other words, Kevin, they should play, is it softball? It's baseball. They should play Little League Baseball the way you do radio, which is to make
it look like
you're trying. But still just fail enough that it doesn't go very well.
Well, that got painful right there.
that was hurtful.
So anyway, so now I got to say, even though, you know, Snohomish is in Washington, I got to say I'm rooting for Iowa. I got to root for Iowa now against the cheating cheaters who cheat from Snohomish, Washington, right? Mm.
Well, I guess, I mean, if you're in that category of you have to root for a Little League baseball team.
Yeah, okay.
Which is an odd thing.
So
I could just sit this one out.
That's right. Good.
What about the office pool?
I don't think you need to really follow up on that much.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
The hunt for the year's creepiest man alive begins here.
We have... Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, we do.
Now, Chip sent me a file of about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I edited... About five or six really good examples, because that's basically all the time we have.
Sure.
And I sent her back the unused ones, which were about 18 minutes.
Your math isn't adding up, but I see what you're
right.
saying.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
The amount that we had for this Would You Like to Take That Back
right?
is scary.
Ralph was on fire.
Is it a Ralph problem?
It's a Ralph problem. It's an Allie problem.
No.
And it's a Bean problem.
No.
Huh.
Mostly Ralph. Though.
Sons of bitches.
I feel like
Ralph
and I've
just strong been, on this.
We've
one.
Just been on the sidelines. I feel like King Ralph has been taking
Ralph
over.
Ralph brought it. He did bring it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll do that today. We'll give people a chance to take it back. We have Donald Trump is going to be a juror. How great is that?
He showed up at jury duty, did not receive any special treatment, and I did love the photo that I saw of what appeared to be Mr. Trump sleeping in the courtroom.
Love it. Love it.
He's already set to be president.
Jemaine Clement on the program today from his movie People, Places, Things.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this yesterday. That's not the best title for a movie.
No, they gave up. They put everything they had
some stuff
into before they got to the title, and they just had nothing left.
People, Places, Things.
You couldn't name any movie
right.
People, Places,
yeah.
Things.
Right. The Bachelor in Paradise Report, The BIP Report.
Can't wait.
Ralph Garman, Petros Papadakis. You got caught re-gifting. We're going to take your calls today because regifting, let's face it, it's a good way to do things.
It's pretty easy.
You get some crap and give it to somebody else. And then, and also the star of Veep and one of the stars of American Ultra, Tony Hale, one of our favorite people in the world, will be joining us in studio today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Hey, don't forget, in addition to all the fun stuff, including Jermaine Clement and Tony Hale on the program today and the Bachelor in Paradise report that we already told you about, we also have more tickets for the private K-Rock show at the Troubadour. That's going to be tomorrow night to see one of the biggest bands in the world, Mumford and Sons. We'll give you tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, including next hour, or you can go to krock.com and register for another chance to win. So two ways to win.
You okay? Yeah. What was the and or? I don't get that.
Because I was saying or, and then it occurred to me that it's not an or. It's an and or. It's either or. Either or. You can call and win on the radio, or you can win on the website.
Is it either or an and or?
Okay, my point is...
How do
Ralph
I win?
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. How are you, Ralph?
It's and or. It's and or either or. Or shut the door. Kevin?
Yes?
Bunt talk?
Look.
Sir Patrick Stewart's new series, Bunt Talk.
Did you hear us discussing that this morning, Rob?
I did.
About what a baseball fan Mr. Stewart
saw,
must be.
I saw the tweet.
And you then, did?
Yes. And then,
I like that. That nobody...
Everybody that I work with saw the tweet and no one did anything about it.
Well, I thought maybe we'd save it for today. I thought maybe we'd load up. But
listener said, you're an idiot. So I wrote back, yeah.
But I like how you defended it this morning by saying he likes to bake. And that's why you were saying Bunt Talk, because Bunt Cakes and Bunt... Yeah. In Bunt Cake is not spelled B-U-N-T
right?
either. Yeah. So at least you defended it by saying you misspelled a different word.
How's the other word spelled?
B-U-N-D-T. Bunt. Bunt Cake.
Oh. All right.
So you defended yourself by saying, no, I didn't misspell that word. I misspelled a different word.
I'm all right with not knowing how to spell Bunt
Anything.
Cake.
Uh-huh. Anything.
Okay. But I'm not all right with putting Bunt Talk. That was just stupid.
Why are you okay with not being able to spell
Bunt Cake? I don't
know. Why is that okay?
I don't bake.
I'm a kid. I don't bake.
Baking's for losers, like reading.
Isn't it better to be able to spell most things correctly?
Well, yeah, Ralph, but so I don't have that option. So what do you want from me?
So Bunt Cake's where you draw the line?
Yes. Not knowing how to spell Bunt as
in cake. I don't want to know how to spell baked goods. I'm gonna free up that space in my brain.
I'm okay with that, because it has a silent D in it.
I don't know how to spell croissant either.
But we did
or cinnamon roll.
We did talk about Bunt Talk, and I watched Bunt Talk, and we talked to him about Bunt Talk.
Right.
And then
you didn't just eat a Bunt Cake. That's your defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, inexplicable. You're the best. You're the best is what I'm saying, is that you're the best.
When I am running Twitter, Ralph, I am going to implement a new feature where you can see the tweet before you post it. Like, you type it, and then you actually can look at it before you post it.
Futuristic Bean.
Bean, that's
because
awesome.
That way you can avoid any kind of Bunt Talk mishap.
Excuse
because
me, Bean.
You
Bean.
Can just correct it right when it Bean, shows up on your screen before the public sees it.
Bean, that's already how Twitter works.
Really? Then that doesn't make any sense.
You read it first, and then you click a button, and that sends it out to the
then
world.
Then how did Bunt Talk happen?
Dumb.
Stupid cakes. I don't like cakes, food. Anyway, the idea of Kevin and food just came together for me this morning because I thought of you.
Oh, okay.
As I read about The Attic. Are you familiar with The Attic?
I am not.
It's a restaurant in Long Beach, here in Long Beach. And they are very proud of... what they've created. It is the ultimate food for you. For those who aren't regular listeners of the show, Kevin eats like a 7-year-old boy.
I know how to eat.
When he goes to restaurants, he looks to the kids section of the menu. I wish I was kidding. He likes to order off the children's menu.
It's all good.
I've seen Kevin leave half a steak on his plate so he can get to his hot fudge sundae.
Absolutely. Stupid vegetables. There's no chocolate on broccoli. I have witnessed that myself. But you'll be happy to know The Attic has announced Mac and Cheetos.
Oh, Mac and Cheetos.
It's mac and cheese, the ultimate comfort food.
Which I love.
But mac and Cheetos is mac and cheese, as you would expect, topped with Cheetos.
Oh, I might have to try that. Sounds good.
The cheese is a variety of cheddar, mozzarella, and jack cheeses. And the Cheetos themselves are the Flaming Hot variety. And then you can also add candied cayenne bacon, avocado, caramelized onions, jalapeno peppers, soy chorizo, and andouille sausage, and a fried egg.
Wow. Now, is this an and or? Can Kevin put all of those on one plate?
You could absolutely put all those on the top if you wanted. It'll cost you about $8 to start, and then each additional topping is $1.
You don't need toppings for mac and cheese. Mac and cheese by itself is bomb.
Just saying, it sounds like they're taking it to the next level. So I think you need to get down to Long Beach and do some research and
I'll
come
give
back
it a try.
And let us know. But please tweet about it, because that's how I like to get my information from you. Because
delicious.
That's what Kevin will be saying. They've announced SNL's first three hosts for this fall. Miley Cyrus.
Yes!
I hope she sticks her tongue out. Have you seen those promos for the MTV Video Music Awards?
No.
Why don't she stick her tongue out? She's like flipping us off into the camera, and then another one, she's topless, but her boobs are dolphins.
And she's edgy, Ralph.
She's very
edgy. I think
those
are just her boobs.
She's edgy. Oh, no, they're superimposed dolphins. She's already hosted the show twice. I did not know that, but she will kick off the show's 41st season.
All right,
then
so I don't have to watch that. All right.
Amy Schumer will be hosting the second season.
Excellent.
That's great.
But the real exciting news and the reason people picked up on this story was
Dick
that
Poop.
Dick Poop will be the third host of the season. No, the third host of the season will be Tracy Morgan.
Oh, wow.
This will be Tracy's first big public appearance, performing at least, since his accident last June. So people are very excited, and Tracy said he's looking forward to returning home. Of course, he was on the show from 1996 to 2003, so he will be back again. And
that's a lot of heavy lifting for your first show back.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm sure they'll be able to work around him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not going to make things too difficult for the guy, for God's sakes.
That's great news, though, that he's that well.
And if you love Disney, then you will love the new Disney album for people who love Disney called We Love Disney.
By the way, before you go on, Ralph, and I know where you're headed with this, it is the policy of the Kevin and Bean Show that we do love Disney and everything they do is great.
Well, we do.
So let's all remember that.
And it is.
Okay.
And this actually sounds pretty cool. This is a new compilation album of Disney songs from its various movies. 15 tracks, all recorded by contemporary artists. For example, A Friend Like Me from the Aladdin film. Neo will be performing that, his cover of that. Other artists, Let It Go from Frozen by Rascal Flatts. Come on now.
Don't need.
Okay. Nothing better than the country version of Let It Go.
Two strikes for me. Do not need.
Let it go.
That's such a boring band.
What else is on there?
Zero to Hero from Hercules by Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Gwen Stefani.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We'll be singing The Rainbow Connection from the Muppet movie.
All right. I'm in.
Nice. Love it. Good.
It's kind of a cheat, by the way, I think. The Muppet movie?
It's not really the Disney canon.
It's not really Disney. Disney doesn't jump to mind when you think Muppets. I know your ownership, but I just heard.
You know, we can hear you completely well when you talk like
Are
that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought I was giving you an aside.
Nope.
No.
You're giving everyone an aside.
Yes. Well, maybe Disney won't hear it if I do it as an aside. Jason Derulo, Can You Feel the Love Tonight from Lion King? And Fallout Boy doing I Want to Be Like You from Jungle Book, legendary Jungle Book song.
I can see that.
I can see that, too.
When's this coming out, Rob?
This will be available in your record stores and for download at some point in the future.
Okay.
All right.
I do not have a date here.
But on a Friday, though, right?
I'm sure it'll be a Friday, because that is music that new release day.
Blech. Get used to it.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Andy Samberg, he is 37 years old today. How funny. How charming. Like
him
much more now than I ever did on SNL, by the way.
He's great.
That Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a very entertaining television program. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Theo Huxtable, 45 years old today. Theo's all grown up.
He's not following in Dad's footsteps, is
no,
he?
No, he's gotten to a different line of work than his father. Christian Slater's 46. Edward Norton, also 46 today. Actress Madeline Stowe turns 57. Dennis Leary, of course, has that new show over there on FX, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. He is 58. And the legendary film icon, producer, director, actor, creator of the Sundance Film Festival, Robert Redford.
Yay!
79 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I have to be honest. I may be getting a little bit spoiled. I'm so used to thinking of Donald Trump as my president now that it's not enough to get the juices flowing. Now I need him to give Jesse Ventura the vice presidential slot to really get me excited again.
That'd be a pretty good 1-2 punch.
Trump, Ventura, 2016. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump is still at the top of the leaderboard in the Republican nomination race, as you know.
Leading in Iowa, leading in New Hampshire.
Right.
Leading in North Carolina,
right.
Leading in South Carolina.
I know, you're leading everywhere.
Leading in Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Leading everywhere.
Leading everywhere, right. But that does not stop him from doing his duty as an American citizen. Yesterday in Manhattan, he pulled up in a limousine and jumped out at the state Supreme Court building to serve on a jury. Donald Trump shows up at jury duty. He was not selected for trial, you guys, so he and I have something else in common.
Sure.
They let him go, so they won't. Apparently in New York, by the way, he gets a free pass for showing up at jury duty. He doesn't have to show up for jury duty for 6 years.
What?
Don't you feel like in California, it's like every 2 months, most people they're sending a jury summons to?
That's what it feels like, yeah.
Yeah. That's so weird. Anyway, so there were interviews yesterday with people who were there at the courthouse with him, talking about how he seemed like a nice guy, signed some autographs, met some people. Had a good time, but he was not selected for a jury, so we wanted to find out more about it. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, the 45th president of the United States of America, our friend Donald J. Trump. Hey, Mr. Trump.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Thank you for squeezing us in. We know how busy you are on the campaign trail.
Well, it's your pleasure to talk to me.
Well, I guess that's right. So what do you want to add yesterday to the reports we saw in the media about your jury duty?
Can you believe they didn't choose me for a jury?
Well, yeah.
They're stupid.
Well, I mean, we don't know what the case was.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard, not picking me for a jury.
But it could have been a case that involved, real estate in Manhattan or something like that.
Who knows better about real estate in Manhattan than I do?
Probably a lot of people.
But they don't want someone who's biased in a particular direction toward a case before they've heard it.
I'm not biased in any way.
You're not.
I would have been the greatest jury ever to serve in the history of the New York State penal system.
But it would have taken you off the campaign trail, no?
I can do it both. Oh. I can do it all.
How could you do the campaign trail and be on a jury?
Because, first of all, it would be a very short trial.
Okay. How do you know?
Because the guy was guilty.
You don't even know who the guy was.
I got a sense, though.
How you?
I get a good sense about these things.
You don't know
That's
the guy.
I do.
You don't know the
That's
guy.
What
you
I do.
You don't know the issue.
I look at a guy, and I can tell if he's guilty or not.
You don't even know what he was being charged with. You never even got to that point yesterday.
I had a pretty good idea.
So, by definition, doesn't that make you a terrible juror if
No.
you convict somebody based on none of the facts?
No, because I have an unerring sense for these things.
Ah.
And all I have to do is look at a guy, and I can tell if he's guilty or not. Look,
all right.
I was
That's
the guy
not good.
Who chose not to have Gary Busey be my apprentice. I have a good sense about these things.
Okay, but that was a TV game show. This is something where somebody's, life may be in the balance.
This is what I do. I judge people.
why?
I'm great at it, and if New York had any sense, they would have me judge all of their criminal cases, but they don't because they're stupid.
They're curious.
Stupid, dumb, dumb, ugly, stupid, fat
okay.
state.
Curious as to why you didn't pick Gary Busey. What about him? Didn't you like?
Gary Busey's a nice guy. I like
yep.
him.
Right.
But I think he's got brain damage.
Okay.
Well, he did have that okay. bad motorcycle accident. So.
See, once again, I'm right. That's what I do.
Okay.
All right.
I'd be right.
Maybe they didn't pick you because there was somebody else in the pool that took a photo of you. I think it was a Snapchat. Mm-hmm. And you were. It looked like you were sleeping. Looked like you were asleep.
I wasn't sleeping.
You weren't.
But your eyes were closed.
I was wherever.
But
and by wherever, I mean...
Oh, no.
Thinking.
Oh.
Ah, that's unlikely.
Thinking about what, though, Donald?
About how to make this country great again. We
uh-huh.
used to win.
Right.
We used to win okay. in this country.
Right.
Now
we don't win. Right. We know all that.
Who wins?
Yeah. Everybody
criminals.
Else.
Criminals win because
criminals.
They didn't pick me to be on a jury.
Okay.
And now the criminals are going to win.
So
nice
the
work, New York, stupid, ugly loser.
So if you decided who's guilty and who's innocent in the state of New York, the state would be better off for it.
Not just the state of New York. I'm saying every state. We should start just the U.S. court system
okay.
and just run them past me. And I'll say guilty, not guilty, 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 brown, white, brown, brown, guilty, guilty, brown, guilty, white, not guilty.
It sounded like you were saying brown with guilty and then white with not guilty.
That's stupid. You'd have to be an idiot to think that. Who would say that out loud?
But
you.
Don't
No,
use...
I didn't.
Oh. Sounded like it.
Nope.
Okay.
So you want to be president and you want to run the court system.
President's kind of a limiting term.
but right. It's the biggest job in the world.
Mm, how about King?
We don't have a King here.
Yet.
All right.
King Donald in 2016.
All right. That's where we're at then, I guess.
God Donald? No, that's shooting too high.
Yeah, maybe a little too high.
Emperor?
We don't have an emperor.
I don't think we need...
Why are you living in the past?
Emmy-winning actor Tony Hale from Veep joins us next half hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, he's nominated for another Emmy for his work on Veep this year, and I think he should win it again.
I agree.
Who's funnier than Gary and Veep? Who? Nobody.
Well, I don't feel like there's room for an answer.
Okay. There are lots of ways to get in touch with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, The Kevin and Bean Facebook page is always available. You can write to us on Twitter at Kevin and Bean. You can always text us at 2KROQ, the number 2KROQ. And, of course, there's the good old Kevin and Bean Afro line, our voicemail for you at 323-520-AFRO. You can call on any topic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Look, I know it is frustrating sometimes when you're listening to a game being played on the radio and you feel like you would do a better job than the contestants playing the game. But it's tough for those people on the phone, too, right? The pressure is on.
Yeah, I would think so.
This caller heard us doing the hardest game in the world recently and did not think much of the callers.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Snap. Is it centuries? Are you an idiot? What's wrong with you?
Again, there are some clues in the way the words sound backwards that are supposed to help you, but I can see why that guy is kind of frustrated by it. We had a conversation about hot blind chicks on TV. Ralph was very interested in that, and I may have made an unfortunate remark about how I would peep them out if they were blind and I was around. And we got a lot of reaction to that, including this caller.
Bean, peep them out? What the hell does that mean? God, you're awful.
Then we got a call sort of on that same topic, but this one's for you, Allie.
Hey, Allie. If you were blind, I'd totally keep you out.
Thank you.
And then this listener figured out a way to put a positive spin on it.
Keeping me out? You know what, Bean? Most days I wake up and I think to myself, I'm sure glad I'm not blind. But now that I hear that creepy old man would be keeping me out, I don't know. I kind of wish I was blind. JK, Bean, you're a creep!
I don't think this next call is about me at all.
Bean is a dick.
Here's a, and we appreciate this, by the way, a listener who calls in with a suggestion for a new feature that we should start here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I think this is actually a pretty good idea.
I think we should have a new segment on the show called Kevin's Take. I know Adam Carolla's got his take, but Kevin... my goodness, give some golden answers on things. So I think we should get his take more often.
What do you think, Allie? Do you like
it? Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
So in other words, like Kevin comes in and we go, Iran deal, go. And then just...
yeah, let him just free
just
form.
Gold?
Yeah.
Kevin, you in?
Only if I do it over a fat beat, if I can rap it. If I can rap it, then I'm in.
Oh, done. Put that on the schedule for tomorrow. Kevin raps the news. I mentioned that you can now text us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at the number 2KROQ, 25767. And this listener is noticing that perhaps we weren't early to the texting phenomena on the radio.
So you guys are really ahead of the game on that texting thing, huh? Just like you were the first radio station in Southern California to have a website, right? Good job.
Allie, you may not know this, but we have a long history of trying to get K-Rock up to technological speed.
Yeah.
We used to call. Remember, Kevin? We used to literally call. We'd look for radio stations in tiny towns in Iowa and call them and go, hey, you guys have a website. How's that going? Yeah. How'd you do it?
Yeah. We were literally the last station in the world to have a website. By the way, going back even further... we didn't have an 800 number.
That's right. We used to be on the air, and we used to have to give out like five different area codes if you're in the 714, if you're in the 310, if you're in the
877. I remember that.
And we just kept going to the bosses, and we were like, look, every other radio station has a toll-free number. Let's get a toll-free number. So now here we are, as texting is virtually dead, now we're on the texting. But you can get a hold of us that way if you want. Friday, we did have an unfortunate blemish in our otherwise sterling Hall of Fame career with an idea that Kevin had called the burp-off.
How dare you?
And if there was any silver lining in the burp-off, I think maybe this listener found it.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and Allie.
I'm listening to this burping bitch, and once again, the theme song is actually funnier than the bitch. So keep up the good work, guys.
Let's hear it.
Time for Burp Boss. Time for Burp Boss. Time to get burping. Time for Burp Boss. Can you be the best burp louder than all the rest? You gotta be so strong, you gotta burp it for so long.
It's Kevin and Bean's Great Burp Boss.
Did you hear that?
And maybe the other problem with the burp off, among many problems with the burp off, is that none of us can burp. We're terrible at it.
Well, here's the thing, Bean. I'm the dumb one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm the one that would like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
If I'm out.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't push it through.
This listener was mocking our poor performance in the burp off.
That's a real burp.
See, he would have won.
Yeah.
He would have won. He won it hard. A lot of listeners have noticed that lately, more than ever, Kevin is hanging up on a lot of our guests, and that's what he addresses here in this Afro Club.
God damn it, Kevin. I don't care what anybody says. You go ahead and hang up on all of them. Every damn last one of them. All of them. Hang up on them. Hang up on them. Hang up on me. Hang up on me now.
And finally, on the same topic.
Hey, Kev Dog, I'm just calling all the way from Vegas. I just wanted to tell you that I love the show.
323-520-AFRO. That's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. Give us a call sometime, won't you?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. 653.
You want to share that with the class?
No, Ralph.
No, I'm going to send that in an email to our legal department.
Hey, congratulations to Michelle Nava, who just won tickets for Mumford & Sons at the Troubadour tomorrow. She's listening from Covina this morning. We appreciate that, Michelle. You're going to have a great time seeing them tomorrow night. More chances for you to win coming up and, of course, at KROQ.com. Ralph, you're doing the Showbiz Beat now.
Maybe.
And then stick around because we need you to assume the position because we're playing Would You Like to Take That Back?
You're a creepy dude.
No, you're going to get beaten down this morning from what I understand from Kevin.
Bending over for you, Sonny Jim.
Well, it's time for you to pay the piper, as they say.
Giggity.
Giggity indeed. Ah, there's a lot of jocularity happening right now, but we really should be a little more somber.
Why?
Because it's official.
Uh-oh.
What's official?
Everyone, if you're standing up, please sit down. If you're eating, swallow. Put down any hot beverages you may be holding.
So pull over to the side of the road if you're listening while driving?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, that sounds big.
If you're changing your tire, put down those lug nuts.
How many people do you think that affects, right? Specifically right now?
There, right now, there's a guy named Carl Ozweski.
I'm sorry, what's his last name?
Ozweski.
Uh-huh.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Where's Carl?
He is on the side of the 110 right now.
Okay.
All
right. Right after the interchange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he is working on the tire on his Volvo.
Is it a flat or just a fender bender or what?
On his tire.
Yes. He had an accident where his tire was dented.
So he's changing his tire. That was the beginning of this conversation.
Which model of Volvo? Can you tell?
Right, stop. Here's the sad news.
What's the sad news?
Nickelback has canceled its tour.
No!
Has canceled the last remaining part of its No Fixed Address tour. Because Chad Kroeger had surgery on his vocal cords, and now his doctors and the rest of the world are demanding an extended period of vocal rest from Chad Kroeger.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Yeah. The fall tour was scheduled to begin on September the 30th and run through December the 7th. However, that has been canceled. And,
wow.
America, nay, the world, mourns.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad news.
Yeah. However, Chad's surgery was a success. His brother Mike says everything is cool. He's going to recover. But doctors are demanding an extended period of vocal rest for Chad Kroeger. So finally, the doctors are on board with the rest of us. be okay?
I hope he gets cancer.
Oh, come on!
Oh, wow, that's aggressive.
Hey, are you familiar with the new Colonel Sanders commercials for KFC?
Yes.
Am I the only one that finds them a little creepy?
Oh, no.
You know who it is, right?
I don't.
Oh.
It's a Daryl Hammond. Daryl Hammond from SNL is the new...
didn't know that.
Is the new...
I think it's Norm MacDonald.
Okay, why don't you hold on for a minute there, sweetie pie. There's a whole story to be told here.
Was it a fender bender?
Maybe, really. Just comes out of the woodwork. The current commercials on the air are Daryl Hammond from SNL as Colonel Sanders.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Many people found them creepy and weird and not very effective. Mm-hmm. Apparently KFC is one of them. Because they have just changed their commercials. They've just altered their commercials.
Okay.
Oh, who sent them?
So now, Norm MacDonald has been dressed.
Shut up!
As Colonel Sanders. And he is looking at the Daryl Hammond commercials with him as Colonel Sanders, saying, that's not the real Colonel Sanders. I'm the real Colonel Sanders. And now he is selling the fried chicken, of course, with its legendary motto, it's finger-licking good.
Huh.
The company's chief marketing officer, Kevin Hotchman, said in an attempt to be funny, other than not quite looking like him, his voice being different, and his inability to cook the world's best chicken, we thought Norm was the perfect choice to play the real Colonel. I think the fans will agree. Oh, Kevin, get your resume ready.
So the
new commercial apparently not a big hit with people, so they are going to say, oh, us too.
We're not either.
We don't like them either. Let's make fun of those by putting these commercials on. Hmm. So now Norm MacDonald is the new Colonel Sanders.
So why do you think they brought back Colonel Sanders, Ralph?
Well, Bean...
Because he's been gone a long time,
he has.
Right?
For those of you who don't know, Colonel Sanders, there was a real Colonel Sanders, and he was the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And for a long time, he was their spokesperson. And then he passed away, and they steered away from Kentucky Fried Chicken in general. And they went to KFC. They changed the name of the company, and they steered their marketing a different direction. I think they're trying to reinvent and reinvigorate their campaign and trying to get attention. So they brought back the old mascot. But apparently not going over so well, largely because it's Daryl Hammond walking down the street and, I got a bucket of chicken, I like chicken, I'm walking with my chicken.
I didn't see that one.
Yep. The first one, him walking down the road, I give out chicken in the bucket with people. And he's singing like this bizarre song, and it's all very odd. We're all very disturbed by it.
And Norm MacDonald is the new one.
Allie is totally sheepy.
She's totally sheepy.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry. I was trying to help so we wouldn't get emails that are irate from listeners.
That's what Bean says.
Whatever.
More progress on the animated Scooby-Doo movie.
Do you want to weigh in on this, Allie?
I'll wait.
Okay.
That we first told you about 2 years ago. The new film will not be a mixture of live actors with a computer-generated dog like the 2002 movie with Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar. This will be a completely animated feature-length motion picture like the original TV series. And apparently they're putting a lot of money and big-name talent and stuff behind it. So Scooby-Doo's poised to make a return to the popular culture.
Ralph, they just came out with a Scooby-Doo movie on DVD about
with Kiss.
A month ago. Yeah. So they really are trying to bring that franchise back.
They
that
sure
had
are.
To have been horrible. Did
Scooby-Doo
see
meets Kiss. No, yeah. I've got it at home. I might have to pop it in.
That
and,
had to be terrible.
Give it a once-over. Yes. Maybe open up the video vault
Ralph's
and take
video
a look
vault.
At Scooby-Doo meets Kiss.
Please.
This won't surprise you. White-hot properties, by the way, that the kids can't stop talking about. Kids, first of all, love the Scooby-Doo characters. Yeah. I know my little five-year-old daughter, she keeps constantly talking about Velma. Oh, no, wait a minute. She's not aware that cartoon ever existed. And Kiss, the kids love Kiss because when you go to these kids' parties that they have,
right.
The kid parties, all they want to do is sing Kiss songs and play Pin the Tongue on Gene.
I don't think that's a thing.
No, they're not really that into Kiss either. But,
I am holding a copy of Scooby-Doo and Kiss Rock and Roll Mystery original movie in my hand right now, you guys.
Why?
Have you
Are
watched
your pants
it?
Down?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I have a copy, and I have not yet watched it, but I'm excited to see it.
All right, now answer if your pants are down.
Pants are not down.
Okay.
While we're talking about DVDs, today is new release day for DVDs, not for music. Let's
right.
not forget, music release day, new release day for music.
It's Friday.
Friday, uh-huh. as it should be. Right. This is finally.
I love it.
Oh,
I love
best.
The new format.
Oh, I cannot
so good.
Be happier to kick off my weekend with a big, juicy new release of music.
It's pretty
let's
sweet.
Let's move on.
It's the best.
It's kind of a sore subject, the Friday
it's
new release.
The greatest thing ever.
What's happening today?
TV shows on DVD. NCIS Season 12. Finally available on DVD. You want to pick that up. NCIS Los Angeles Season 6, you can finally get. Once Upon a Time Season 4, Blacklist Season 2, and Grey's Anatomy Season 11 are all available on DVD today. You can check that
out. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
Right.
That's right. That guy speaks truth.
Remember what we said, what DVD, you know, who needs DVDs anymore?
Yeah.
I realize who needs DVDs now. My dad. My dad needs DVDs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Because he's getting frugal in his old age. And so he has decided that he is going to limit the number of channels available to him on his DirecTV.
Okay.
He's pared down. He's let
so
some
no
less, the more expensive channels. He's culled them from his viewing.
Okay.
And so he was a big diehard fan of Ray Donovan on Showtime.
All right.
But he no longer has Showtime. So now I realized that I want my dad to see this season. Because this season, by the way, has been amazing on Ray Donovan
great.
Over on Showtime. So now I'm going to have to wait for them to put it on DVD. And then I'll buy him the box set of this season. I'll give it to him and he'll be able to
there
watch it.
There you go.
So there you go. So there still is a market for a TV series on DVD.
I'm doing the same thing with my dad, Ralph. I had to pre-order him Homeland Season 4.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it to come out.
Because
they don't buy the pay channels and they don't do on-demand.
Right.
So they wait for him to come on DVD.
Yep. So there's your market right there. We've solved the mystery.
Today's
celebrity birthdays, Andy Samberg is 37 years old today. Malcolm Jamal Warner, Theo Huxtable from The Cosby Show is 45. Christian Slater is 46, as is Edward Norton. Madeline Stowe. Stay alive. I will find you. Anyone? Last Mohicans? Nobody? Nothing? She's 57 years old today. Dennis Leary's 58. And Robert Redford. Still kicking ass. Still giving amazing performances. Still looks pretty damn good, too,
yeah.
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:10.
I think this is a little embarrassing that the great Tony Hale is on his way down here to be in the studio in a few minutes, and he's probably listening to our most embarrassing moments right now.
But think how it will fill him with confidence, knowing that he can't possibly be any worse than we are.
Plus, we'll get a chance to take it back, thereby erasing it from history. Is that
okay.
how it works?
Nope. I'm not sure.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
We say a lot of things on live radio off the top of our heads that perhaps are ill-advised if we had a chance to think about it a little bit. And that's what this feature is all about. In fact, we learned in the meeting yesterday after the show that we say a lot more things that we're not supposed to say than we
yep.
even do.
And we don't even take those back.
Right. But this is an opportunity for us to play back the audio and go around the room and see who wants to maybe have a second pass at whatever was said the first time around.
The first person that might want to take it back is Ralph.
What?
And also Fernando Sosa. Who you may not know the name, but he's the guy who has created the Donald Trump butt plug.
Yay!
I wonder if he hears the drums.
Okay, let's put that right in the file. And call it a day.
Would you like to take that back?
So your joke...
Do you hear the drums, Fernando? Is
right,
the joke.
Your joke is you were making an ABBA lyric joke
yes.
from 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question we're asking now is, would you like to take
would
that?
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I would like to take that back.
I'm so happy.
I'd like to pass on that.
Next is Allie.
Huh.
Hard to believe.
Who is outraged?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to set this one up. Ralph is talking in the showbiz story about Amy Schumer mm-hmm. and the photo shoot with C-3PO and R2-D2. And some Star Wars fans are outraged.
Who is outraged?
Well,
if you are a Star Wars fan and you were outraged because Amy Schumer was in bed with C-3PO and R2-D2, you need to take yourself out of the game.
Take yourself out.
I think a lot of people just thought her hand was in Alderaan places.
Oh,
and
man.
No?
This is why you fail.
Would you like to take that back?
Hell no.
Wow.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on, Alderaan places, because her hand was like touching C-3PO and weird places. But I said Alderaan.
Would you like to take that back?
See,
I'm proud of you, Allie. I thought that was excellent.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're standing by.
Thank you.
Yeah. Huh. What a surprise.
Connected at the hip.
Next is Ralph again.
Come on.
We were talking about Whitney Houston's will, and later in the conversation, Bean explains that he used to love Dionne Warwick, but now he hates her because she was on Celebrity Apprentice. And she was heinous, he said.
Wow.
So that is why he hates on her in this particular clip.
No will, the estate would be divided among Whitney's living relatives. So who knows how many that entails or who's going to get what slice of the pie. But I bet you it's going to get ugly.
Don't give any of that bitch Dionne Warwick, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's
just happened.
Not what friends are for right there. That kind of behavior, I'll tell you that much.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, come on. No way. That was sweet. That was delicious.
That at least was a reference from a song from 1985.
Listen, hey, you're working your way up.
Hey, miner from the 1800s. I don't want to hear about timely references from you. Of all
I just,
people.
I feel like it needs to be pointed out while you decide whether you're going to take it back or not.
Would
you like to take that?
You brought up Dionne Warwick, a star from the 1960s,
who was on Celebrity Apprentice 2 years ago.
Well,
though.
If she's fair game, then her auteur is also fair game.
I don't know that word, but okay, let's move on.
So that's a no?
I'm not taking it back.
Next is Ralph and Allie.
Come on!
I think it's Ralph and Allie. I'm not positive about Allie, but I know it's Ralph.
Programming note, Spandau Ballet is performing today live on The Talk.
Is that true?
Yes. I know this much is true.
Those people...
Wow. What's happening right now?
We're going to have to do... Or would you like to take that back just from this showbiz alone?
Would you like to take that back?
That was one for you, right? Allie, did you mean it?
I did say true because of
because
the song.
That's his song title?
Sure.
Okay, so.
Would you like to take that back?
But then.
Hold on.
Okay.
Allie?
No, because it perfectly set him up.
But it wasn't
and
even.
You knew that.
But it what? Oh, stop it.
Ralph?
I'm not taking my back because I took her bad and made it good.
Oh, screw you.
I took her.
Screw you.
I took her sow's ear and made it into a silk purse. That's what I did.
Not that anyone cares about my opinion on this, but I agree with Ralph. I think Ralph perfected what Allie was trying to do. She had a weak-ass true, and then Ralph brought it home with I know this much is true, which is a much better joke.
So right. Ralph's not taking it back, but Allie.
Would you like to take that back?
I hate all of you.
That is not an answer.
Oh, it's not? No?
No.
Fine, I'll take it back if it makes you feel better.
That's the right thing to do.
We were talking about Bono and his new cause, which is helping people with eye care. And this is Allie.
Bono said, thanks to good medical care, my eyes are okay, but tens of millions of people around the world with sight problems don't have access to glasses or even a basic eye test. So this is his new cause.
Wow. For a guy that still hasn't found what he's looking for, I'm kind of impressed.
Mother of God.
That was just
what Chip said.
Would you like to take that back?
I wanted to bring up, too, that Chip has never spoken without being spoken to.
No,
that
she's
was
a little
just,
mouse of a person.
She just could not contain herself. So, Alan.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
No.
I don't
No
want,
again?
I don't want to.
But you know it's the right thing to do.
But I should. So yes.
So you do. Okay.
There we go. Finally, a breakthrough.
Ralph is doing a story on the animated TV series The Lion King, and he was talking about Mufasa. And this one, people, is Bean.
James Earl Jones will be back as Mufasa.
All right.
Isn't he dead? Spoilers. Isn't he dying this thing? He'll be like Ghost Mufasa, I guess.
Simba, you must go and protect the jungle.
Who's playing the dentist? Does it say? I'm sorry, what?
The dentist.
The dentist. I didn't get it.
Okay. There's a story recently about a dentist who went and killed a lion in Africa. And made a lot of
this is a
headlines.
Cecil the lion. Come
yeah,
around.
Just saying, dentist lion. You know, because if
wow,
I'll show myself out.
Wow.
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 Wow. That happened.
Wow.
Would you like to take that back?
I don't think we're giving you an option. I think this has to be taken
Look,
back.
Look, I already took it back. I said I'll show myself out. Yeah, it was a miss. We were talking about The Lion King, and it was right after the Minnesota dentist story had happened, and I thought they would go together, and they just didn't. So
they didn't at all, though, right?
I apologize.
Okay, that was terrible,
to the world. It was bad, yeah.
All right, one last...
shouldn't have been said.
One last one. You remember Hitchbot? Oh, I miss Hitchbot.
Oh.
Hitchbot
was
a
good old day.
It was a social experiment where some people built a robot that the plan was it was going to go across the United States based hitchhiking based on the kindness of strangers. But it only made it about a couple hundred miles before it met a fiery death in Philadelphia. And Hitchbot is dead. But why do you bring that up?
Well, we talked to Hitchbot before his untimely death, and he made this joke.
Well, once you do get in the car, what are the conversations like?
I usually say, hello, I am Hitchbot. Okay. You can call me Alfred. Alfred Hitchbot.
Hold on a second. Do we have to put Hitchbot in the file?
Really?
Put Hitchbot in the file.
Would you like to take that back?
So, hey, Hitchbot. Apparently Hitchbot is not dead, and we've got him on the phone.
I am not dead.
That's good news.
What about the question?
I was a bucket with a face painted on it. I'm not a real thing. That's why I'm not dead, because I was never alive. So get over it, dumbasses.
Okay, we were told you were dismembered in Philadelphia, though, that you were taken apart by some people.
Not real. Just a bucket with a phone in it. And some rubber gloves and some pipe cleaners. Everyone stop it.
What about Hitchbot, but you can call me Alfred, though? Would you like to take that back, Hitchbot?
Would you like to take that back?
Hell no.
All right, standing by it.
All right. Good enough. Thank you.
I'm Alfred Hitchbot.
Yes, you are.
All right, here's some good news for you. Veep has been renewed by HBO for a fifth season, returning spring 2016. You want some more good news? The man who plays Gary Walsh, the president's personal aide, the great Tony Hale, in studio with us here on the Kevin.
Hey,
why am I not hearing the
going?
Veep theme?
Oh,
where's the Veep
the
music?
There we are.
Very timely.
Yeah.
We gotta start coming to the meetings.
My character never gets that kind of music. It's always Selena. That's kind of nice.
How are you, Tony? Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Congratulations on being nominated for yet another Emmy.
Oh, thanks so much. Always surreal.
I know you.
Is it always surreal, really? I mean,
oh, totally always surreal. I mean, I think if anybody gets used to it, they need to be popped upside the head.
You've been nominated how many times in your career, Tony?
This is my third, which is insane.
And how many have you won?
I won one.
Hmm.
What does that? What does that mean, B? What was that noise?
Well, first of all, how were you not nominated for however many seasons of Arrested Development there were? First of all, for Emmys.
Oh, thanks.
And second of all, this is a crucial one because you're at 1-1 right now. So this next one is going to determine whether you're a winner or a loser.
Oh wow, really?
Well, because
is that
you'll be 2-1 versus 1-2.
I don't.
Okay.
See
I think
it
you
that
need
way.
This one
oh
bad,
gosh.
Tony.
What did your parents teach you?
Yeah,
that's a really sad upbringing.
It's gross.
It's gross. You have value outside of that. I just want to let you know outside of what you do in life.
So you are one of those people who is going to tell us that it's enough to just be nominated.
Well, yes. It's just enough just to be you. It's enough to be me.
It's not enough to be me.
Let's hold hands and start singing.
It's enough to be you. It's not enough to be me.
That's not true. That's not true.
It is. No, it's actually.
Let's talk about your alter ego, Gary's journey over the past season of Veep. How has he enjoyed a president, Selena Meyer?
It's been a rough road for Gary. Gary, you know, his doesn't pretty much have an identity. His identity is in her. And the fact is when she's president, you know, he doesn't have as close proximity to her. She kind of has to because she's got a lot of more security system around her. So, and the fact is he would rather she verbally abuse him than distance herself from him. So that was rough. And then the second episode, he kind of let loose and let her have it a little bit. And that was
the best.
That was a fun episode. And also when you've been emasculated over four seasons, it was nice to kind of break out and just be able to say what was on my mind.
What is it you suppose makes him so subservient to Selena? Like, why
he's in love with her.
Yes,
is that what it is? Is it romantic love he feels or some other sort of attachment?
I think in a perfect world he'd like to get married to Selena. But I think he's also one of those kids that probably grew up not really having much. He kind of latched on to powerful people because he started working with her in his 20s. And typically when people are in that job, they don't have much of a life because they're doing everything for her and then they move on. Gary did it into his 40s. And he's very happy. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. I mean, if she works at Target after this, he's going to be right by her side.
Tony, is there a real life equivalent to Gary's job?
There is. It's a body man and these people just have no social life. They never see their family. They're just 24/7 the politician that they're with.
A body man, but it's not a security.
No.
Because
no,
you're in no way security.
No, it's good. What are you saying? No, they carry around this bag, and if she needs anything or he needs anything, they have it, or speeches that they're about to say, or in Gary's case, just emotional, what he thinks is emotional support.
Sure.
But
I mean, I guess it makes sense because the president or whoever the political figure is can't always keep track of his glasses or lip balm or, you know, speeches like you said, or beverages. Those are the types of things you just can't have in your hand all the time as you're walking around. I guess it makes sense. You kind of need a person.
Totally. And I think Gary is so into his job that I think he goes home at night and he's recorded himself saying all the things that are in the bag, and then he places the recorder in front of him, pushes play, and just puts a blindfold on and just pretends how fast he's getting out of his bag. That's his nightly ritual.
Like he's putting a rifle together.
And he just loves it. Every moment.
I know you give a lot of credit to your writing staff, and you should, mm-hmm. but I feel like this past season was Veep on steroids.
We
would come in on Mondays, and Ralph would started telling us, you know, I have to watch every episode twice, and I realized I was doing the same thing because it goes by so fast, and how often when we're watching it, we have to rewind the scene to see it again because everybody is just yelling stuff out. It's insane how much great writing goes on per episode.
It's pretty insane, and it's very dense. There's a lot. I mean, you're right. It's coming at you. But we, you know, they give us a lot of time to rehearse, which I'm thankful for because it's so much information. And we have about 2 weeks before we shoot to rehearse, which is pretty rare.
For each episode?
No, they give us like about 3 or 4 episodes of scripted episodes at a time. And then we rehearse it just to see what feels right.
We had Tim Simonson plays mm-hmm. Jonah.
Oh, and he's such a nice guy.
He's amazing. We brought up that we have to stop it, rewind, watch again. And then he threw a glitch in it. He said, I'm going to tell you what to do on top of that.
Oh.
Take a Tony Hale lap. So watch it again just for Tony Hale. And I thought, oh, I didn't need that. And now I do
I'm surprised he didn't just throw me under the bus because I'm the worst about breaking. I'm known just like I can't keep it together. I mean, I'll just like if something's funny, it's like I turn into an audience member on set, and I'm just like, oh, that's hilarious.
Do they get
that? Tell you the camera's
Tony,
on
for
you.
God's sakes, we're rolling.
Oh, it's pretty sad.
And even when there are a bunch of you in the room, Gary is all. If you do what Ali says and just take the Tony Hale lap, you can see that Gary is always reacting with facial expressions, no matter who's talking.
Well, that's all he has.
You're so
he can't speak up. He's always got his eyes. That's the only way he can communicate. He'll be slapped down if he does anything else.
How do you get into that abused puppy mode where you're just like, I can't say anything?
My wife and I have a ritual. She just beats me up in the morning, okay, and then I'm ready to go.
That sounds nice. That sounds perfect.
He's a sweet little character. I mean, the reason I said that about the writers is because you kind of have an idea going in about a character, and then they bring you all these surprises. Like, I remember the episode where I had to break up with her boyfriend for her. And then I, you know, dug through her trash for what I probably think is like some sex toys. And it's just like, then you see, oh, wow, this guy really, there is a lot to him. There's a lot going on in that body.
Gary is the best. We're talking actor Tony Hale here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, if there are any Emmy voters listening today, don't forget to cast your ballot in the category that Tony is nominated against. Andre Brower, by the way, Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Ty Burrell from Modern Family, Adam Driver, and Keegan-Michael Key. So tough competition.
Yeah, really tough competition. All really talented guys.
I think you got it. I think you're fine. I think you got
come
it.
Come on.
All right. Tony, by the way, also appears in a big film called American Ultra. We've been giving away tickets to here on K-Rock. We'll talk about that and other stuff with our guests when we return on K-Rock. Ali is laughing because the great Tony Hale is cracking her up. What's going on, Ali? Do you want to share with the rest of the class?
Just a delight.
Thank you so much. You're
Tony,
a delight, by the way.
Thank you,
Don't
Tony.
Let him. I've heard how he speaks to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bean is evil.
Tony,
she
if you'd,
means you.
If you'd never
she?
Done anything but be Buster on Arrested Development, you would be in the Comedy Hall of Fame. But having Gary Walsh from Veep is unbelievable as well.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
what a one-two punch. Because
you are encouraging.
I am. But
he's
I mean,
a very sweet man.
Here's the thing about it. I'm going to tell you about being an actor now, Tony.
Okay,
and that
great.
Is.
Great.
It
should be good.
I got the notepad.
If you're, and you're a guy who's been in the business for a long time, if you're a guy who gets one role that is remembered forever, for that people connect with, you're the luckiest little actor in the world. And you got two. I'm just saying.
Oh, thanks. I'm very, very thankful.
We also all have our favorite TV shows, and a lot of times they're different, but this particular one we all watch, and we watch live, and we come in the next day. And then when it gets to be the last one of the season, we go, already?
Yeah. I'm interested to where it's going to go. They, you know, they never tell us. So, I mean, also, what's fun is the other one, Arrested Development, there's this kind of, it's serialized. So, like, I'm curious where Arrested Development is going to go because it kind of ended when something sweet happened to Liza Minnelli. So, mm-hmm. I think Buster was involved.
And by the way, there is another season of that?
They're talking about it. I get all my news from the internet.
About the movie?
What?
Let me know.
You learn on the internet?
I do.
That seems to be common amongst actors. They find out their show's been canceled. Yeah. They find out important information like that.
It's a loving business.
I want to talk about the new movie that you're in, but first, since we're on the TV topic, I have to ask, because we've had you in before, Tony, and we always appreciate your time, but I've never dug deep into your IMDb before, and I just want to ask you about two things.
Yeah,
one
please.
Is... Tell me about Tony Hale on Dawson's Creek.
Oh, man. Okay.
And you played a doctor.
I played a doctor. All right. That was my very first big gig. And I mean, you know, whatever, however you define big. But I was super excited. I was living in Virginia Beach at the time going to school. And I remember I got the gig. And the guy who played Dawson's, James Vanderbeek, mm-hmm. I was so excited. I'd never, you know, worked with a celebrity. And I remember in my mind thinking, hey, maybe we'll be friends. And I remember I got there. And he had all these coats on. I remember he had like three layers of coats. And I'm not kidding. The very first thing I said to him is, dude, you look hot. That was the first thing I said.
All right.
And as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, stop.
Don't say that.
And then he was called off to set. And the second thing, this is honest truth, I said to him, I said, no, I meant take it off.
Wow.
So the whole day he thought I was coming on to him. And it was just like a disaster.
So you were a doctor on the show. Who did you get to examine, if anyone?
Oh, well, Pacey.
I did not. It wasn't Pacey. Was Pacey Josh?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Josh Jackson.
I just love that your eyebrow went up.
Yes, it was.
My scene was with James, hence the disaster.
And did you have to do doctor speak?
I don't remember. I just remember I had a full head of hair. That's all I remember.
Okay, so this was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
What do you saying?
All right, and the other role...
Wow, you turned the encouragement
that's how
went
he does
out
it.
The window.
That's how he does it. He sets you up and he knocks you down.
The other role that will surprise our listeners who consider themselves Tony Hale fans is, and Kevin, I want you to try to picture this. You're watching The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
And up pops Tony Hale. How did that happen? And did you get to whack a guy?
Nope, I didn't. I was a nurse oncologist. And, yeah. And I just remember being around all of these kind of thugs. And they were like, and what are you playing? And I said, I'm a nurse oncologist.
Did you have a scene with Tony?
No, my scene was with Uncle Junior.
Ooh, nice.
Did you tell Uncle Junior he's hot? Or take it off?
Yeah, what if I did? While he's like in bed for cancer. I was like, you look hot.
Do you ever come across yourself when you're flipping around on TV and an episode of ER or whatever it is you were on comes up and you see you? Does that ever happen?
No, it doesn't. You know, because nowadays, we got DVR, so you kind of...
You don't flip as much,
I don't flip as much, yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about The American Ultra. It is in theaters everywhere this Friday.
Lovely is a The American Ultra.
Great cast. The Jesse Eisenberg is in it. The Kristen Stewart, Topher Grace, Connie Britton, Walter Goggins, John Leguizamo, Bill Pullman. My God, what a cast. Tell us about the movie.
All right, so... Super fun. Jesse Eisenberg, I don't know if you guys know about it, but he plays this kind of stoner kid who, unbeknownst to him, he's a sleeper agent and has all these mad skills.
He's been training. He has no idea.
Yeah, he has no idea. And then the government's been kind of using him as a puppet, and he discovers this himself. So it's this quirky, you know, pothead kid all of a sudden just has these, like, you know, Jason Bourne-like skills. And I work for Connie Britton specifically. Her name is Connie Britton. In the movie.
Is that right?
I work for this agent who's played by Connie Britton. And I'm a part of that kind of puppetry. And it is a really fun movie. Like, super fast-paced. This guy named Nima Norizdeh directed it. He did a movie called Project X. And it's a really good watch.
And when you say agent, FBI, CIA, what?
Yeah, she's that. And then I'm her assistant. And one day I'll become an FBI agent.
We all of America has a crush on Connie Britton.
She's tell fantastic,
me about work,
right?
Tell me about working with her. Well, did you make out with her?
I did not make out with her. This was the first time that I...
He's her assistant. Why, how would he make out with her?
Because he, is that what you guys do here? You guys make out with assistants?
If I'm in a
strange
scene
question.
With Connie Britton, I'm at least going to try.
Okay. I'll just warn Connie Britton about that. But I, she play, anyways, yeah, I'm a I mean, I'm Friday Night Lights, and my sister's actually in town because we have the premiere tonight, and she's going to go with me. My sister is obsessed with Connie, and because she's a big Nashville fan, oh, and Friday Night Lights.
She's so good.
She's so good.
Now, are you trying to take your sister and say, look,
I know, I take it easy. I know, I kind of had to kind of calm her down a little bit, but she's, you know. She's excited. It's fun to kind of go to these things and bring people who haven't seen it and just kind of see it through our eyes. So it's fun.
Yeah, of course. Do you get starstruck still, Tony, even as long as you've been in the business?
Do I get what?
Starstruck.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I do. I do. I think the more you're in it, and you guys know, the more you kind of see the humanity kind of behind the business a little bit.
It's all people.
And it's, I think this, I don't know, everybody's looking for a gig. You know, and it's just kind of, you just kind of, the kind of the sheen of it kind of goes off a little bit.
I agree with you. And, you know, we are lucky that we have the kind of job where we get to meet a lot of people, interview a lot of people. But having said that, yesterday, Sir Patrick Stewart's in here.
Oh, wow.
And we all just melted. I mean, so we were all like little kids who were just giddy that we were talking to Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that would be like me meeting Tim Conway. I grew up with Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett Show, and I think that's your childhood.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so I mean, I mean, talking about him, him and Bob Newhart, I'd be pretty starstruck if I met.
And that's
him.
So interesting because you know you're in the same profession as them. I mean, you do what they do, yet you still can't admire them so much. That's
yeah.
Really nice.
I think growing up though, and you might have had this experience with Patrick Stewart. It's just they're on a different place. You know, you don't see them as real. Now, if I worked with somebody, you kind of see their humanity. But growing up, it's like you see them on TV, and they were almost like an animated figure.
Yeah,
you know,
they weren't real. Totally get it. By the way, I think I would be that way about Julia Louis-Dreyfus too, having seen her for so long in so many roles that she's so great. I mean, I almost feel like she's, you know, royalty.
Yeah, and she's – but the cool thing about Julia, which I appreciate, is even with that kind of resume, and I'm sure Patrick was like this yesterday, she's so normal, you know, and she's – her family's her first priority. She's just a cool person, and that's when it's a gift. Because sometimes you get those ones that are kind of first on the call sheet, which is the lead, that are kind of egomaniacs,
right.
And everybody's walking on eggshells around them. And
freaking Jason Bateman, am I right?
Nightmare. But it's like that just sucks creative energy out of the room. And when you have someone like Julia or Jason, it's just a free environment, and that's the kind of environment you want to work with. Unlike here, it feels like, where we're walking on eggshells.
Put your finger right on that one.
Tell you that. All right. Well, listen, I'm so happy for you, Tony. You're doing such great work, and it sounds like you're really enjoying it. And obviously, we got our fingers crossed. We hope you win that Emmy, man, because whether you win or not, man, you're doing Emmy-quality work.
Oh, man, thank you so much.
You really are doing great. And we can't wait to see the movie, too, American Ultra, in theaters everywhere this Friday. How about our friend Tony Hale stopping by, you guys? Thanks, Tony.
Applause back at you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
I don't know anything about Bachelor in Paradise except the headlines that fly my way on the internet, Ralph. But I understand there's the greatest villain in BIP history being unveiled right now. Is that true?
More than one, son.
Really?
We have the worst couple since the Rosenbergs.
It's a good reference for a lot of our listeners.
Let me see if I can come up with something better.
OJ, baby.
OJ wasn't really a couple. But,
Clippers, people.
The Clippers
the
people.
The owners. People.
I forgot their
Donald
name.
Sterling.
Him and his wife. Horrible.
But he was the villain there. She was really just sort of the victim. But I'm talking about a couple. Like Bonnie and Clyde. That emotional Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
They were
right.
Bad. You know, it's the Natural Born Killers couple. Remember
there
Mickey and Mallory?
There you go.
That's who they are. They're the Mickey and Mallory of love.
Not the Clippers people?
Not the Clippers people, no.
That's a good guess,
but once
though.
Again, Allie, as always, thanks for your help.
I cannot wait to hear what they did. The Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph Garman and our friend Petros Papadakis coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
They're not there for the right reasons, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Sure do say that every episode, don't they?
They sure do.
Right reasons.
You know, they got this new show after Bachelor in Paradise called After Paradise. And it's just killing me. It's just killing me not being on there. Because you get to go on, it's like Talking Dead.
But you're afterwards, friends with you get, Chris Harrison.
I know.
What?
What's up with that,
on?
CH?
What's up with that, CH?
Have a little love. I think that what they're looking for are actual celebrities.
Oh.
That may be the drawback.
But you could be funny.
For instance, last night they had our boy Jason Biggs.
Mm-hmm. All right.
His wife is the co-host along with Harrison.
Oh, okay.
They're both big Jenny Mullen. They're both big Bachelor fans. They tweet.
Oh,
they live tweet
like
all the
crazy
time.
About it. Yeah.
So Biggsy was on last night, and James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
All right.
And Slither.
He all watches.
I wonder what he did back in the Slither time.
I guess we'll never know.
Whole thing there. Remember we were talking to Elizabeth Banks, who was in Slither.
Remember
I don't remember that.
Remember that quote we were talking about. Slither?
I don't think we have time to really get into that.
No, we don't have time apparently. Anyway, so yeah, just killing me because I would love to be on that show and then come out live right after the episode and just break it down. Look at the game.
I remember what Bean said.
Oh, you
now,
know about
yes,
Slither, Elizabeth Banks.
Now I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah,
I don't understand the question.
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
I
don't even know what the hell that was about.
Bean can usually eject long
what
before
did you
that
do
point.
Back then,
I just kept going deeper and deeper. I don't know why.
No! This is a colossal disaster.
It sure was.
I ignored the advice that you're given to stop digging when you find yourself in a hole, and I just didn't.
I think that was good.
What did you do back then?
Did you chase snakes? What?
The movie's not even about snakes, by the way. Not even.
You know what?
It's about maybe. Aliens. About aliens or like worms that you know.
Maybe I didn't see Slither. Maybe
that's,
that was.
I think
that was
that's a very likely possibility.
Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then in the Slither time?
I don't know if we have time for it again, but I have it right here.
Yeah, I would love to hear it just one more time.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then? Why was I even asking that question?
How do we know?
Like, what was
she
was
promoting her new movie that was like 15 years ago or something.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. I would like to take that back.
Nope. No, we're not giving it up. That's a keeper. Casting news. Laura Linney, who I love, has just been added to the cast of Miracle in the Hudson.
Ooh, great.
That's not what it's called. But Sully, of course, was the name of the pilot who was able to land that U.S. Airways jet in the river. On the Hudson River after a flock of geese hit it while taking off from New York City's LaGuardia Airport. Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberg will be played by Tom Hanks.
Asshole.
No, come on. Tom Hanks is not. Aaron Eckhart is his co-pilot in the film. That's a dreamy
he
co-pilot.
He is a dick.
He is not. He's a good man and a nice guy, and he's attractive as heck. He could be my co-pilot anytime. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pull up on the stick.
Yes, we know what you're saying.
And Laura Linney will play Sully's wife in the film. So a great cast already. I can't wait to see the new film directed by Clint Eastwood, Sully. Great. Is it Friday already?
Feels like a little
feels
bit.
Feels like Friday's last showbiz beat. Okay.
Ooh.
Speaking of Tom Hanks, are you watching that 70s documentary series on CNN there?
I've seen a couple episodes. I like it very much.
Boy, is it good. They had the last one, most recent one on Thursday, this past Thursday night, was the music of the 70s.
Saw that one.
And takes you everywhere from the breakup of the Beatles at the end of the 60s.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Into rock and disco and funk and hip-hop. It just said the 70s. Like, everything that we appreciate now about music seems to have been born in the 70s. Punk, I mean, new wave, everything came out of the 70s.
You're
going
to hate this, Kevin, but one of the Talking Heads, and it might have been
The
David
Talking Heads were in it?
They yes. were, actually. They actually were.
That's what
I was trying to be
talking about,
Kevin. I thought
he
was talking about, like, the newscasters.
No. I was talking about...
Cake. It was a bunk cake.
No, I was... All right, I was talking about one of the Talking Heads, one of the people who was on, the journalists who was on discussing the music of the 70s. But yes, the Talking Heads band was also in there. They said this, Ralph, and you probably saw this, that any genre of music that you can name, the best of it was done in the 1970s. The best rock music... The best dance music, the best new wave, the best punk, the best disco, the best whatever it is. And I thought that was a really weird thing to say. Do you think it's true?
I do believe it's true. I believe it was Chris Connolly from MTV.
Might have been Chris Connolly,
said
yeah.
That. Yeah. But I believe it. He said you can make an argument for it, and you'd be hard-pressed to prove him wrong. Because it's true. If you go back to whatever your favorite genre of music is, you pretty much find the best examples of it.
Now, Kevin, how do you feel about that, hating all old music? Like, if we say the best rock ever made was in the 70s, does that rub you the wrong way?
No, I just am not interested. Okay. That's all. What about rap? Was that
yeah,
the 70s?
Hip-hop. Uh-huh.
Hip-hop was?
Hip-hop.
Rap was
you know
rap?
Where hip-hop comes from? The name hip-hop? How the genre of music was called hip-hop?
I don't.
From Rapper's Delight. You know the Rapper's Delight song?
A hippie to the hippie to the hip-hip-hop, you don't stop. Here to help.
I'd like to hear more of that.
I'd like you
please.
To turn up the volume on that in one more time, please.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying, do it! Let's hear it again.
I just said a hip-hop, a hippie to the hippie to the hip-hip-hop, you don't stop rapping to the... You know, the
yeah,
Rapper's
we know.
Delight.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
That's
I'm
where
just...
hip-hop
right.
comes from.
All right.
Woo.
Allie's gone crazy.
She's lost it. So... Just to finish the point,
so,
Ralph.
Anyway, the kids would hear that song. They didn't know it was called Rapper's Delight. They would hear it on the radio, and it was the first mainstream sort of rap hit. And so they would hear that song, and they didn't know the title of it. So they go into the music store, and they say, "Would you have that hip hop song?
What's
that hip hop song?" And that's how the music genre got dubbed hip hop.
All right.
How about that?
There you go.
How about that?
See, Kevin, see what happens when you watch documentaries about things? You learn
but
stuff.
I didn't have to watch it, and I learned stuff.
But if I hadn't told you, you never would have known.
I'd have been all right.
But it's interesting.
I'm good.
And it expands your knowledge of things.
I feel like I'm very knowledgeable about most things.
That is just crazy talk.
So your brain's pretty much full up. You're not really accepting any new information
I'm
at this
good
point.
With what I got, yeah.
I'm bunch cake. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Samberg is 70. Nope.
30, wow, he looks great.
37 years old today. Malcolm Jamal Warner is 45. Christian Slater and Edward Norton both celebrate their 46th birthdays today. Madeline Stowe, the lovely and talented, is 57. Dennis Leary's 58. And Robert Redford, the Sundance Kid himself, 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for the Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph Garman and Petra. Ralph Garman and Petra. Steve?
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on. Are so dumb. So Ralph and Pete, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's popping with you guys?
Petros, is this the worst couple in Bachelor history last night?
Which one?
Which one?
What do you mean, which one? If they're the worst in history, you should know.
Joe and Sammy.
Oh, yeah.
They're
well,
evil.
I don't understand. First of all, she's weird looking to me. She looks like a scarecrow or something.
She's a former Miss USA.
Yeah, but she's creepy. And then he's become like this creepy, diabolical, like dead-eyed freak. But it's awesome. And she touched him in a very inappropriate way for television on Sunday.
We'll get to that.
All right.
For those who aren't...
You know, some say it's a lost art, Ralph.
For those who are not aware... there's a guy named Joe on the show. He's from Kentucky. He's an evil Kentucky genius, if you can believe there is such a thing.
Okay.
And he was lying to this widowed single mother named Julia, who was on the show, just so that she would give him a rose and keep him there in paradise, because he was waiting for this girl, Samantha, to show up. That's who he was really interested in.
Okay.
And she finally did, and they hooked up, and now Julia is just being kicked to the curb, and she's shattered. And on Sunday, the Joe and Sammy, this evil couple, they were in the jacuzzi together. And Petros is right. I've never seen, how do we put this?
It was live television manual labor.
There was a manual
is
act
that right?
going on in the jacuzzi. Then ABC just showed it pretty much in all its
really?
Glory. Wow. I mean, they were below the water, so obviously you couldn't see anything explicit.
Right.
But he was like, yeah, keep doing that. He put his hands behind his head and, like, lounged back. I never saw a thing like it.
I rewound it about 7 times, and I started to breathe a little heavy like a high school kid watching porn with his other friends, like a bunch of dudes in the room.
Right.
But anyway, I did notice that her one hand slipped down.
Yes.
And then you could see some of the muscles moving in her shoulder.
Right, I think we get the idea.
Yeah, we get what happened.
Yeah.
You know, indicating that she
right,
was...
Right, we get it.
Yeah,
exactly.
We understand.
Went on.
Now,
yeah.
Here's the thing. Everybody's like, how did this happen so quickly between Joe and Samantha? How did he know she was coming? Why were they so close together when she showed up immediately, their relationship...
She immediately put her tongue down her throat.
Right. I mean, it just happened way too fast for people. Then we find out... from a dude named Tanner, that these two had collusion beforehand to commit to go to this thing together and to hook up there on ABC's dime. They're going to have a little vacation on ABC's
dime.
Wait,
they're not there for the right reason?
That's what I'm saying.
They're not there to find love with somebody they don't know. They're there to find love with each other and to touch each other with their hands.
Right, we understand how it went there.
Here's Tanner saying what he found out from Joe.
Watching Joe take the fall for this is painful, because I know Sam is just as guilty as he is. Before Paradise, Joe sent me a screen grab of a text message from Samantha telling Joe to do whatever it takes to stay in Paradise until she arrived.
So that's why he lied to the widowed mother in order to get the rose, so he could still be there in Paradise when she showed up.
Oh, it's
nothing
on.
Nothing like an incriminating screen grab.
Right. Mm. There was a lot of grabbing going on in these two episodes. So Sammy comes in there, and they sit her down in the interview portion where the producers are saying, okay, what's going on? What was your relationship like with Joe before the episode? She's like, nothing. I barely knew the guy. And then they cut to, the two of them were talking secretly. They thought it was secretly. And they had the camera and the microphones on. So they juxtaposed her saying what she was saying on camera versus her colluding with Joe in secret. Here's a little of that audio.
Okay, so settle it once and for all. What was the extent of your relationship with Joe?
Listen, I just interviewed, and I said, we didn't talk. I said, I didn't even know he was interested in me.
So the extent of me and Joe's relationship before we got here was purely social media and a couple text messages, and that is it.
I said, I didn't want to say anything about anything until he didn't ask me anything, and I didn't ask him anything.
There was no plotting with Joe. At all. Zero plotting. I wouldn't do that. As just me as a human being, I would never plot something before it happened, especially on a TV show.
Yeah, you don't want to plot on a TV show. No.
You know, you're not going to find love by colluding with somebody you already like.
Right.
You know, that's not how we find
Abraham Lincoln
love.
Said that, Pete.
He did. And, you know, after a while, I started to wonder, like, wait a minute. A, if you're smart enough to collude and then show up on a reality show and make out, okay, great. But you're not smart enough to know there's no such thing as a private conversation in a reality show?
Well, she did close the door on them and said, I have to go change.
But they're mic'd up. It doesn't matter. They could be in Mazatlan. They're mic'd up.
They're whispering, though, P. They were whispering.
But there's a sound guy and a sound assist guy crouching down behind them like garden gnomes. They can be heard. I don't understand how they... And really, is it that bad that they seem to like each other before the show started?
Yes, P, because if they liked each other before the show started, they should go off and date somewhere else, but you don't come to Paradise.
Why? We want to watch people make out and have sexual relations.
We want to see relationships blossom in front of our eyes. We don't want two people bringing them in and then lying to everyone. What's wrong with you?
If it's one widowed mother... who ends up being hurt because these two good-looking people can touch each other in a jacuzzi, then I think it's okay.
All right.
Oh, you're a cold man.
You're a cold bastard.
Meanwhile, JJ, who we think is the villain from the last season, he was the one who had the bromance with the guy.
Oh, right.
Was wondering about. JJ this season is like a pretty stand-up dude. And he meets a girl named Megan who's new to the show last night, and they go out on their first date. And I can't really understand from Megan's signals whether she is a very sexual woman or not. I can't tell.
It's going to be awesome to spend this day with JJ and to be on a yacht and to explore and to get to know each other in such a romantic setting.
And if it turns out to be a really good day, you never know. He may be motorboating me. This is the quickest I've ever been wet on a first date.
She's got mixed signals. I can't tell whether she's good to go or not.
Is that good? Is that thumbs up?
I'm not sure. Hmm.
the worst part is you've got some douchebag producer on the other side of the camera going, hey, hey, is this the quickest you've ever been wet on a first date?
Say and that. Goes, say that
yeah.
out loud.
Then she goes, yeah. Well, no, use the question. Use the question in your answer. She's hot, though.
Yeah, Meg is pretty hot, and she's good to go, which is what really matters.
She's ready to rock and roll, and I think JJ's become likable because he's accepted all the horrible things about him, you know, kind of like me. He's just like, hey, I live at home, I'm unemployed, my wife left me, you know, and everybody just seems to laugh like it's a joke. It's not a joke. He really does live at home in his mother's basement.
He does. Ashley, meanwhile, crazy Ashley, she's losing her mind because the guy she liked, Dan, no longer is interested in her. And she's stinging from that rejection. Well, she feels a little more deeply than that.
It's hurtful. It's hurtful to see that. It's literally, I mean, I hate to say it, but the pain of death. Like, it's literally the pain that somebody, like, died.
It's the pain of death is what it is.
Pain of death.
Well, you know, look, they were dating for at least a solid 4 days.
Yes, and it is now the pain of
it's
death.
It's the pain of death.
And you should see this guy, though. He's like romance novel quality. Big beard, good-looking guy. I mean, it is. It's like having your liver ripped out.
He's like a better-looking Hugh Jackman. That's how good-looking this guy is.
Wow.
Like, you know that ugly Hugh Jackman?
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Like a good-looking version of Hugh Jackman.
Wow. He's so Hugh Jackman, I keep expecting, like, Rocky or whatever stupid robot to show up.
Hitchbot?
Whatever. You know, Hugh does all those stupid robot movies.
Yeah, there was a robot fighting
movie. Real Steel.
Yeah, Real Steel.
There you go.
There was
all
two.
Right.
There was two. There was that, and there was Chappie.
Oh, Chappie, yeah.
Chappie!
You know what there wasn't, Pete? A Rocky. There was no Rocky robot.
Nope.
Boy, I got Paw Patrol in my brain, man.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
And Ashley has the pain of death, so she starts talking to the animals because that's what Ashley does because she's crazy. So now she's picking up crabs on the beach and having conversations with the crabs.
What?
Now, she's doing this on purpose because she knows it looks foolish.
No, she's full-blown nutcase.
You know what? Nobody made, like, a crabs as a venereal disease reference, though, on the show for 2 days, despite all the crabs and all the sex.
That's a good point. No one ever brought that up.
Till now.
Here's crazy Ashley.
Crabs actually smile. What are you really doing? You working in the FBI? Like, you working undercover?
What?
So as a crazy person, it makes sense Ashley S. can communicate with the crabs better than she can the humans.
Yeah, now she's only talking to parrots and crabs. That's the only conversation she'll have on the island.
I like her.
Then JJ finally stands up to Joe at the end of the episode, P, and he says, let's go. It's go time, you and me.
Yeah, let's go, you piece of ass.
He brings it. JJ standing up for this widowed single mother who Joe has just kicked to the curb in order to be with Miss USA. And JJ, he's morally outraged.
I'm not a bitch. You're a bitch.
They were totally broing off, weren't they?
Oh, it was a bro down.
Here you go.
And it's probably best to keep your nose in your own business. Probably look
or
for
what?
A job.
Hey, to find something. Hey, Joseph. Or what?
Yeah.
Or what?
This is so stupid.
That's a man that thinks that nothing can happen. He fills him in.
Get the f*** up here, little piece of shit. Let's go.
JJ, just shut the
gate.
You know, I'm going to make him look like the hillbilly he is because he's going to go home with about 4 missing teeth.
Is on.
This is like the NBA, first of all. Nobody wants to fight for real.
It's fake fight?
No, hell no. And second of all, at least JJ, you're right. At least he's a stand-up guy in this situation, Ralph. What about the other two little bitches standing there, Tanner and Jared?
Right.
They're the ones that are orchestrating all this go after Joe, go after Joe, go after Joe, but they don't have the balls to stand up to their old five-head friend from Kentucky that they all met in Caitlin's season.
And they were the guys giving out all the information. Tanner was the guy with the screenshots, and Jared was the one who said he lied to me, and they're sitting on the couch there not backing up JJ at all.
No, they're scared of Joe and his dad bod and JJ and his huge cap sleeve tattoo and his giant face and chin have got to sit there and do all the dirty work. But he doesn't even have a dog in the fight.
I know.
And those guys are weak.
But I'm thinking JJ and Joe, they got to throw down, right?
No.
No.
Come on, P, give me some hope.
They might do a little chest bumping, but I think that everything next week is about this guy that's still in love with Caitlin and the emotional Armenian virgin and how she's going to give it to him tonight.
No. Our Ashley I, our virgin, finally decides to lose her virginity.
Oh, no.
Oh wow.
In paradise. That's
yeah,
that's...
you think the sex act we had on Sunday was something? Wait till they have the live blow-up of the virgin.
Wow. But we're halfway through Bachelor in Paradise this season, you guys. Halfway through already.
We have some live, pre-live sound of the virgin blow-up. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Pow!
Really? There you go.
Very mature, right?
Thank you, Pete.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
The hilarious actor and comedian Jermaine Clement joins us just after 9 this morning on K-Rock. By the way, we're going to be talking to him about his new film, People, Places, Things, which is very funny. But did you guys saw yesterday, he in an interview said they were writing a Flight of the Conchords movie.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Right?
Yes.
So we'll talk to him about that as well. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, we did a story last week about a typical 18-year-old's birthday party. Like you do, you turn 18 and your boyfriend gives you a $325,000 Ferrari 458 convertible. Remember that story we did about Kylie Jenner?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tyga gives her a Ferrari 458 convertible valued at over $300,000. Now, you think that's the end of that story. You go, well, that's how they live. It turns out that at least it has been suggested that that was maybe a makeup present for the car that he gave her the week before. A red Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon. Now, what's the controversy about that original car gift, Kevin?
Well, TMZ was following this story closely, and they were following the license plate is exactly the same. This is a car that he had given to his, is it ex-wife or ex-girlfriend?
I think previous girlfriend, yeah.
Previous girlfriend. So it was a gift to her. Mm-hmm. So Tyga went back to her and said, hey, I'm going to need that car, and then had it repainted and gave it to Kylie. He got caught re-gifting.
Now, Allie, I hear you making the noise. Is it not cool if somebody gives you a car, if it's a used car, is that all of a sudden not considered a good gift?
If he said, hey, listen, this is my ex's car. Mm-hmm. Now it's your car. I probably would say, ooh, that's odd, but thank you. As opposed to, here's a new car.
Yeah, hey, check this out.
So in other words, the re-gifting is the crime here. The fact that it was not disclosed as being a used car.
Yeah, the fact that it was his ex's who she apparently has huge problems with. That's just, it's shady on a lot of
levels. And she'd been driving it for a while, and it's just so ridiculous to paint it and give it to her.
Yeah, same license plate number.
And with the scrutiny that Tyga is under, thanks to TMZ, could he possibly have imagined he was going to get away with that?
I don't know.
Well, it was a different color. How will they know?
I mean, it was the same license plate. Like, he didn't even try.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he had it repainted. Okay, he tried a little bit, but that's it.
Well, we are that brought us to the topic, and I don't know how long it's been since we've talked about this, but re-gifting is a thing that a lot of people have emotions about and also have experience with. Look, I'm with Kevin. If you can get away with re-gifting, do it.
I re-gift.
If you can get away with it,
I'm a re-gifter.
No harm, no foul, right? Now, Kevin, have you ever been busted all the times you've re-gifted?
I don't think I have.
Is there any level difference to your re-gifting? Would you re-gift something huge, or is it small re-gifts?
I don't know. I don't know.
So theoretically, Kevin, let's say you got something for your birthday that was a nice gift, but it wasn't something you really cared about or decided you needed.
Right.
You would wrap that up and give it to somebody else as a birthday present?
In 1 second.
Because what's the difference to that person? They don't know where it came from, right?
Right. But, I mean, this one was actually worse because his ex was driving and he repossessed it. You know, that's a little bit worse.
And this wasn't just a re-gift. This was a used gift that was being given again. As opposed to something that you might get that's new, that's in the box. What's the harm in whether it came from the store or whether it came from somebody to your house if you give that to somebody else? I think I agree with Kevin on this one.
You re-gift if you can.
Sure.
Right.
Especially if you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it doesn't work out so well, that's who we want to talk to.
What if you re-gift something to the same person like years later?
That is...
No!
That's the awesome. That's the colossal disaster is what that is, Allie, to quote a great man. That's the and people who are deep into the regifting will tell you, you got to take notes on this stuff. And you got to keep track on, like, who gave this to me? Yes. Who gave this to me and when? Because I want to make sure that next Christmas, when it comes around, I don't give that back to the same person who gave it to me last Christmas.
It sounds like somebody regifts more than the rest of us.
All right. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for regifting stories. Either you were the person who regifted and got busted on it, or you busted somebody else for regifting to you. You can call us now toll-free at 1-800-520-1067. That's preferable. If you can't do that and you only have time to text us, you can text us to 2KROQ, that's 25767, or contact us through Kevin and Bean social media on Facebook or Twitter. We'll take your calls coming up next right after this on KROQ. The topic of this morning is regifting. You got busted trying to regift something, or you were busted trying to regift something. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Here's one texted in to us at 2KROQ, the number 2KROQ. For my wife's birthday, my mother-in-law gave her a gift card that we had gotten my parents a year before. It was all ratty, and because it had been in her wallet for a year.
Oh, it looked used.
I think that's another key, by the way, is you want to make sure that the thing looks new. You're trying to present it as a new gift, even if it's a re-gift, right? So let's take a couple calls. Where do you want to go first here, Kevin?
Let's do, how do we say it, Anesh? How do you say your name?
Hello? Arish.
Arish. My bad. What did you re-gift?
I re-gifted a bottle of wine. Definitely not one of my classier moments. I had drank from it moments before.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, you opened it and drank from it and then put the cork back in and gave it to somebody else?
Hey, my crazy landlord dropped in on me unexpected. She gave me a gift and was like, oh, crap, I got to give her something back. I had nothing except a bottle of wine, but you know, I didn't realize she was actually a recovering alcoholic.
Okay. So much wrong with this story.
Well, yeah. A lot of problems here.
Hey, I found a quick ribbon. You know, the girlfriend keeps those things around.
Sure. did they know that it was a regift?
Oh, yeah, she absolutely knew. She looked at it and said, well, it looks like some of it's missing.
And she's an old-timey lady?
She's old and crazy.
Private investigator from the 1940s?
Okay. I think we've gotten all we're going to get out of her, sure. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's see. Let's go to Evelyn, please. Line 6 in Brea. Evelyn, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Oh, we were at Christmas sitting around the tree opening presents, and I ended up giving one sister-in-law a present that my other sister-in-law had given me the year before.
And were all of you in the room?
Yes. And the minute that the one sister-in-law opened it, the one who had given it to me starts screaming, oh, my gosh, you re-gifter, you re-gifter. And then the rest, and I was lying through my teeth. No, I'm not. No, this is new. This is new. He spent the entire night picking wrapping paper, crumpling it up, and throwing it at my head, mouthing, you suck.
Yeah.
The whole night. So then the next day, I spent Christmas Day going to any store that was open to try to find that same present to make it look like that I wasn't a regifter.
You wanted to prove to him that you weren't regifting. So you went to 7-Eleven, and they didn't have it.
No. I mean, we tried everywhere. I ended up having to go online and got it like a week later and try to present it. Oh, no, I didn't regift it. It's right here.
And how did that work?
Oh, yeah, she no longer is in our family.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow, look what you did.
Look what you
did. It's not the crime, Evelyn. It's the cover-up. If we've learned anything in America, that's it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Zach, line 7. You're Belinda up next on the Kevin and Bean Show talking re-gifting. Hi, Zach. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Good. So I re-gifted an electric guitar that I had received 4 years prior. To a girlfriend gave it to me. Never touched it, threw it in a storage unit. Then she was like, oh, I want to learn guitar, the next girlfriend. So I was like, oh, I can totally regift this. So
it was new. You hadn't played it. You couldn't tell it was a regift.
Yeah, and I even restrung it because I was like, oh, the strings are probably old. So I restrung it, gave it back to her, and she goes, this was on your Facebook 4 years ago.
Like, oh. Ooh, wait, you said no, it wasn't?
I said, wait, what? She was like, this was on your Facebook 4 years ago. You got this as a birthday present. I went, yeah, but it's been 4 years and I haven't touched it. She goes, that's not cool.
That was, okay, wait, that, like, your response was, yeah, but it's been 4 years and I haven't touched it?
Yeah, I, well,
He was arguing that it was still brand new.
Right.
Even though it was 4 years old, it was still brand new. So, I mean, I guess this is the point, and this is gets us to the crux of the regifting issue. It was new to her. It was still new. What does it matter if it was sitting in Zach's house for 4 years or if it was sitting on a shelf in, at Guitar Center for 4 years?
You know what I think it is? I think it's that you pass it off as, I'm thinking about you, and so I went and got this thing. It's the thought, the emotion behind it.
I think also if Zach's friend Joe gave it to him, it's different than Zach's ex-girlfriend giving it to him. That holds weight.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
And
thank
don't
you for the
put
call,
on,
Zach.
Don't put your stuff on Facebook if you're going to re-gift it, people.
Right?
I mean,
come on.
Seriously.
Good advice.
Come on, Zach.
Here's a text from the 323. I gifted my neighbor a make-your-own beer kit for his birthday in April. That same year on Christmas, he re-gifted it back to me. Yeah, that,
now
again,
that's funny if that guy
did it on purpose.
Did it on purpose.
See, this is, again, this is rule number one on re-gifting, though, is you don't give it back to the same person you got it from. All right, let's close because we're out of time with Melanie, Long Beach, line four. Now, I think when you start talking about re-gifting, there's everything we've talked about so far. And then there's engagement rings. So let's hear this story and find out where
this can't go well.
Good morning.
Hi.
So years ago, one of my friends, one of my cycling buddies, he was engaged, and I was good friends with both of them. And over the course of time, they broke off their engagement. And years later, he and I actually ended up dating for a short while. And there were lots of red flags along the way, but the crowning jewel was 7 weeks into dating, at a barbecue with his family present, he got down on one knee and presented me with a ring and asked me to marry him.
Okay.
It was his ex's ring.
It was his ex's ring.
Yeah. Oof. And again, I had been friends with her too, so I had no problem recognizing a very distinct ring.
So did he know you knew?
I'm sorry?
He had to have known that you would know that's a regift.
I was totally blindsided by the proposal, and what I said was, is that her ring? And he looks down at the ring box, looks up at me and goes, oh, I was hoping you wouldn't recognize that.
Really?
His family's like, oh, she's awful. Why would she say that? You're right, honey. Give her a ring.
I'm just deny. That's me at that point.
How soon after did you break up?
I think it was 4 days.
Yeah.
But that
okay.
was because I needed to get my bike out of his house. So I had to make sure I had time to get that. And then I was.
It was over the second he hit the ring, wasn't it?
Oh, God. No, he didn't even have to hand me a ring when his knee hit the ground. I was like, I'm out.
All right.
Well, it sounds like you dodged a bullet. Thanks, Melanie.
All right, so if you re-gift, that's fine. Don't get caught. That's what we're saying.
Absolutely.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Christian Cisnero from Northridge. You know where he's going to be tomorrow night, you guys?
Chuck E. Cheese's?
Close. The Troubadour sing Mumford & Sons courtesy of K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up. Keep on listening, or you can go to krock.com for a chance to win your tickets there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Kevin, you're going to quickly grow tired of this documentary series I keep talking about, the 70s on CNN.
Great.
But Bean made me think of it. The Troub, they said, was the center of the musical universe in the 1970s.
Is that right? Hmm.
Everyone who broke big in the United States, especially came over from England, and a lot of folk rock bands and the old L.A. West Coast sound of rock and roll all started out of the Troubadour.
Thank God.
Elton John was an unheard of nobody. Came over from England, played the Troubadour overnight, became one of the biggest acts in America. The Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, Joni Mitchell, I mean, you name them. Went through the Troub. Legendary rock and roll venue. And it's still with us today. Isn't that great?
That is great. It's a good place to see a band.
It's a great place.
It's a great place to see a band. I'm with you.
Why?
Come on. Just trying to impart a little wisdom.
I don't even know what that is.
Just trying to drop a whiz on you. Wisdom. You know?
Okay,
I don't have time to say the whole word.
Let's stick with wisdom.
Dropping some whiz on
Let's go with the whole word.
Let me give you a whiz.
Right,
let me give you my whiz.
Let's not shorten that.
Wisdom.
Wisdom, right. Let's stick with wisdom.
Sweet.
You don't get it, man. Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
Everyone's wondering what happened with her mystery injury.
She's like famous.
She is famous. Brooke Shields, famous actress and model, of course, severely cut her foot, although she claims she only needed 10 stitches. But she won't say how she got it.
Ooh.
She was not hurt bad enough, to keep her from emceeing the Bow Wow Meow Ball, however, in the Hamptons on Saturday.
Wait.
She was the host and MC of the Bow Wow Meow Ball at the Hamptons in New York on Saturday.
That's a thing.
Yeah. If you're hosting the Bow Wow Meow Ball, you should cut yourself a little bit higher than the foot. I'm just saying. You might want to take a good long, hard look
at
your
career. Not sound like a good gig.
The Bow Wow Meow Ball.
Yes, where the action is. If it's Rodney on the Rock.
Ow. Hurt my ear so much.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes, it did, Rodney. So please, modulate.
The radio.
I'm not going to turn it up. I was too loud already. I told you.
Wow, it was loud.
Yes, exactly.
Can I say? Beyond loud.
It was beyond loud and hurt my ears.
Oh, crush me.
I'm not going to crush you, but check yourself before you wreck yourself, all right?
Excuse me.
I'll try. SNL has announced their first three hosts of the fall season. Starting things off, Miley Cyrus will kick things off. Oh, man, is she edgy.
She's going to stick her tongue out,
She's going to stick her tongue out. She'll probably show us her boobs. I know she does drugs. She's like a modern-day Janis Joplin. What?
Or really well done.
Thank you. Or Janis Joplin, I guess.
Either way works. I understood you the first time. That should scare me.
It actually makes perfect sense that you would understand me.
Oh, God.
Janis Joplin.
That happened. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
Welcome
strong.
Welcome to my
myself.
World.
Thank you. Then the second SNL of the new season will be hosted by Amy Schumer. All right, yes, please, I'm all in. I might actually watch an SNL from start to finish that night.
Well, you'll DVR it.
Yeah.
Right. Case.
And then the real reason everybody's talking about this, it's very exciting news, Tracy Morgan returning to Saturday Night Live.
Yes, yes, yes. Giddy.
The first time since his horrible accident back in last June, he will take the Saturday Night Live stage. Boy, that's going to be an exciting night. So,
just
good
in
stuff.
Time for Thanksgiving.
No. Wow. This will be in October.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She's not feeling well. She's not. Amy Winehouse not doing well, Rodney.
Okay.
You want to pick up a paper?
You didn't hear it from me. But it's a surprise.
It's not a surprise to anyone that Amy Winehouse is gone.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. You didn't hear her? She was unwell, and then she passed.
Why did they have all these guns? I don't
there was
understand.
Not, they weren't about, it wasn't about guns. It was about drugs and alcohol.
Bitch.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Samberg's 37 years old today. Malcolm Jamal Ward is 45. It's hard to know when Rodney's going to
jump in. You never know.
You never know when he's going to jump in. Whether he has something to say about these celebrities or not, I never know.
Beach Boys, Mamas and Papas, Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, Jack Nicholson, Jane Fonda,
Natalie
Wood,
nope.
The Rolling Stones.
No, sir. Kristen Slater's 46, however. Edward Norton is also 46. Madeline Stowe is 57. Boy, at one time she was a white hot movie star.
What was she famous for? What was her
last
was
Mohicans? Her... She was with Daniel Day-Lewis. That was a big role
big
for
role,
her.
Right.
She was in a movie with Andy Garcia. Heck, what was the name of it? He played a cop.
Purple.
It was not called Purple. It's a real good film.
It would be awesome if it was.
One of my favorite films of the 90s.
Was it She-Goat?
Did he say She-Goat?
It's not She-Goat.
The Mexican.
Was it Mexican?
Just recently, wasn't she on that...
Revenge.
Revenge, right? Yeah. On ABC.
Great.
Monkey Tree.
No, that was not the movie she was in. It was Andy Garcia played a cop, and he was, like, harassing her.
Yes. Don't Be Afraid of Pogo.
Don't Be Afraid of Pogo, I don't believe was the title. Dennis Leary is 58 years old today, and actor Robert Redford celebrates his 79th birthday. One of my favorites. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, still one of my favorite movies of all time.
I've seen that movie, and it's great.
What?
I saw that movie.
That movie is from 1969.
Thank you.
You can't possibly have seen that movie.
I have.
It's one of my top three films of all time. It's a great, great film. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, do we have our guy on the phone?
Almost.
Cool. I think Dave's talking to him.
The Los Angeles Times says this: if you are searching for an antidote to the swarm of studio behemoths that dominate the summer movie calendar, well, relief is at hand. It is small, it is smart, and it is inescapably independent. We're talking about a film called People, Places, Things. It has its own offbeat and charmingly low-key way of seeing the world. How much do we love Jermaine Clement? We haven't had him on for a long time. He is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. And again, the film is called People, Places, Things, available in theaters and on demand right now. Hey, Jermaine, how are you, my friend?
I'm so nervous.
It's okay. We're all friends here.
We're all friends.
It's live. It's live, that's all. I'm just worried. What am I going to say?
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
So listen, let's start with the obvious question, and I know you've probably been asked this a lot, but did they just give up on naming the movie? No, that's not it. Did they just give up on naming the movie and just looked around and just... People, Places, Things, yeah. Well, that's what I can see.
Yeah, just named some things that are in it, including things.
We feel like it doesn't do the movie justice.
I don't know if I can do anything about that at this stage. It's pretty late in the game.
Good point.
It's already come out.
Good point.
It is out. It is adorable. I watched the movie last night with my wife, and you did something to her biological clock. When she saw you being a father, the kind of father that, like, builds kites for his little girls and paper crowns and takes them hiking in the woods and plays hide and seek, she's like, I want to have babies right now, but I only want to have them with Jermaine. So I'm sorry you've got your work cut out for you, sir.
Well, that sounds, that's a lot of work.
Are you available? First things first.
I'm not available, and I've never really made a kite. I've only assembled one. You tell her that, and that might
help.
Okay. That might put her off a little bit.
Your character is such a good father. I just feel like you're going to cause a lot of fights with couples coming out of the theaters, with wives looking at their husbands going, why can't you be like that guy?
My own wife will probably say that.
To be fair, he doesn't get him to school on time, and he serves him pizza for breakfast. So,
that's true. It's not
right?
Perfect. He's not perfect.
There you go.
That's more realistic.
Yeah.
Tell me about these little girls that you made the movie with. Now, they are twins, obviously, that play your twin daughters in the movie. Now, usually we always hear on movie sets that if you have one kid, you usually have a twin that is there to do half the work. So were there actually quadruplets that you broke into twins to make this movie?
That'd be probably a good idea. That would, they'll be able to film more with quadruplets.
I feel like you don't have to break them into two. Though being
no, but what
they're separate.
I'm not sure I understand that question.
No, what I'm saying is, if you have four, you could have two of them work one day, two of them work the next day. You get more kid labor out of them.
Yeah.
Hard to find though. Hard to find some quadruplets.
Yeah. Sure.
It makes sense. Who can act? It's hard to find twins, I think.
They were great though, Jermaine. I mean, you know that you worked with them. They were just so cute and so adorable and such good little actresses.
Yeah, and they weren't nightmares either. They were really nice to hang out
with. They weren't, like, doing cocaine in their trailers and stuff?
No, they were.
Oh, they were.
But they were good about it.
If they did, they covered it up very well.
I see.
Right. And they seemed like just normal kids.
What drew you to this role? Why'd you want to do it?
Oh, tough questions now. I liked it. I thought it was funny. Sad, but funny, and what else? I think that's all.
This is going well.
All right. Well, I think that's enough. I mean, yeah. All right, here's a question for you. I don't know if this is a tough one or not. You have a perpetual 3-day facial growth on your hair. Is that a setting on your razor so you can make it look like every day you always have to shave?
It's a setting on my face.
Yeah, your face, right.
He said hair, he meant face.
Because you're never clean-shaven in the movie. You always look like you're 3 days in, and I'm wondering how you accomplish that.
Also, my hair is really messy. You can admit it. It's always, always really messy. And the first day of shooting, I didn't look up at the mirror when they were doing my makeup because I was too nervous, and I was just reading my script trying to memorize it, and I didn't really look at what I looked like till the end of the day. And... Mm-hmm. And then it just, like, had this messy hair all over my face. And, we just stayed like that. It's once you start with something like that, it's hard to shave because you might do a scene that's set on a different day.
Oh, I see. Hey, they shoot out of order. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's odd that you didn't look in a mirror the entire day.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, it's a little weird, especially for an actor.
I was too nervous. I had to get my lines down.
Jermaine, is it difficult for you, and you're so self-deprecating, you make fun of yourself all the time, is it tough for you to see yourself as a leading man in a romantic comedy?
It's just like hearing your own voice on a message or something like that. It's like that, but you see yourself and hear yourself. It's quite, I'm talking about just watching the movie. That's quite hard, I think.
Right.
But I don't have to watch it.
Right. No, we understand that.
How comfortable are you at this point in your career doing love scenes, like the one you have with, spoiler alert, with Regina Hall in the film? Is that tough for you?
Did it come across tough? It was supposed to be a little awkward.
Accomplished?
Yeah. Well, good.
That's what you were going for.
That's what the director wanted, like a little bit, you know. Not I'm not George Clooney in the movie, or in real life, actually, come to think of it.
We're talking to actor Jermaine Clement about the film, which is available on demand, Amazon Instant Video, iTunes, also playing in select theaters. It's called People, Places, Things. It's really fun. Allie, what would you say about this movie? What would you recommend for this?
Well, here's the thing. I went on Friday night. I saw it at Arclight. Loved it. It was a delight. I'm a huge fan. I loved Eagle versus Shark more than probably anyone on the universe. But then I get home and I go to tweet him and I see a tweet that says also available on iTunes or VOD. I'm like, I left the house? This is what? That's ridiculous, but well worth it. And I had popcorn. But it is a delightful movie. You're so charming in it. Everyone in it is so good. It's just, it's lovely. It's a lovely movie.
Sorry, I'm just recording this.
Okay, no problem. And by the way, you are just like George Clooney.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. That is the first time I've heard that. I've had to fish for it a little bit.
Well, okay. I'm here. All right. I'm here.
Wait,
for you.
Wait, you've been fishing and no one has given it to you yet?
Yeah, that's the first bite I've got.
Good for you. Well, congratulations on the film, and we were also very excited to see the news yesterday. I know it's early, but you told an interviewer yesterday that you guys are writing a Flight of the Conchords movie. Whether we ever see it or not is another thing, but I'm glad to hear that that's still a thing that you guys think about and may come back to at some point.
Yeah, we've been thinking about it, and if we don't get it made into a movie, maybe we just email it to everyone.
That'd be great.
Okay.
A PDF.
Just as good. Why not? People, Places, Things, folks. Go see it. Jermaine Clement, always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for the time, sir.
You're welcome.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Hey, real quick, before we get into the final showbiz beat here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show, we were talking about regifting last hour. Steve writes in, hey, do you guys remember when Kevin bought an Xbox for a relative? I think maybe it was a nephew. And he took the console out of the box, played with it,
right,
then repackaged it and gave it away as if it were brand new and unopened.
Right. Yes.
Is that true, Kevin?
Yes, but did I get found out? No, I did not.
So therefore, thank successful you. Regifting,
correct.
No problem with that.
Thank you.
And you're fine with gifts that you get then that you think are new, even if they're not as long as you think they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go with that either way.
Now we know.
All right.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
You know what you're not?
What am I not?
All right. So when you say, no, I'm all right, that's a lie. You're the opposite of
I feel
all
like
right.
I'm all right.
You're not.
I feel like I am.
But I know you feel like you are, but just another example of where you're wrong because you
okay.
feel that way.
All right, but
I am. You're not.
Right, but I am.
But not.
Right. Yeah.
You love Disney?
Yes.
I love Disney.
Yes, we do. They are the best. They can do nothing wrong.
You love Disney. We love Disney.
They're the greatest advertiser we've ever had at K-Rock.
We love Disney.
I've been told.
We love Disney. And that's the name of a new album. We love Disney. It is a compilation album of Disney songs from various movies featuring contemporary artists. Like You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me from Aladdin. Neo is going to be doing that. That can't be good, right?
I can't imagine.
Can't be bad. Rascal Flatts, the country band, is doing Let It Go on this new album.
Oh, man, I'm not a fan of them.
Me neither. They're terrible.
Love Disney.
Let it go,
not a fan of them.
Let it go.
Not a good band.
Be here no
more. Country Let It Go.
Yeah.
Hero to Zero from Hercules, Ariana Grande. Finally, someone is taking on the Zero to Hero hit that we all whistle from Hercules.
I don't remember that. That one. Was Hercules, was that one of the animated movies?
Yes. Yes, it was an animated movie.
Well, I know that there were live-action Hercules, too. I didn't know if that was the Disney version or not.
Oh, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
The Rainbow Connection from the Muppet Movie by Gwen Stefani.
I'd like to hear that.
All right. Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King, Jason Derulo.
Okay.
Want to Be Like You from Jungle Book by Fall Out Boy. And many, many more. Just announced. So if you're a Disney fan, this is going to want to add this to your collection.
Some of those songs are great.
Yes, I agree.
Disney is the best.
Come on, man. Why you got to be like that?
I love them.
Why you got to be all fake? You got to be Jake the Fake.
You see Jake the Fake? Jeez, Jake the Fake.
Right. How about the 14 acres worth of Star Wars park, speaking of Disney?
Yeah.
So good. Some good times right there. Frank Gifford passed away. No, this isn't new. This is the beginning of a story. A little more than a week ago, at the age of 84. So Kathleen Gifford took some time off from the Today Show, of course. And she returned and then took some time to talk about her late husband, because how else would she make it all about her?
That poor bastard.
He's the luckiest man in the world
really
right now.
He really is.
This man was a complete piece in his life, she said on the Today Show. He might have been the happiest, most contented person in the world at this point in his life. So she's saying, me and my being married to him made him, this was the happiest time of his life.
Okay.
Was those days with me.
She has a good opinion of herself.
She
we know
does.
That.
But she also took some time out to thank everyone for their love and support.
I watched the clip in question,
of
Ralph.
Of course you did.
And I think that, look, I'm no fan of Kathy Lee Gifford.
I'm
really not. But
say you are.
She was talking, in context, she was talking about spiritually, he was so at peace that he was happy in his life, felt like he had, you know, apologized for everything and was at peace with everything and was ready to go, was
apologized
old and was ready.
Boning that stewardess?
She didn't mention that by name, but I'm sure that was part of it. I'm sure that was part of it.
He was so much more at ease since I castrated him. Once
right,
I
exactly.
took his huevos and he was no longer able to have sex outside of our marriage, he was much more content as a neutered kept animal.
Guys love it when they can no longer get strange on the side. They love it.
Yeah.
But she talked about how they had vacation in the Holy Land, and their faith was deeper than ever before, and they were in love with Jesus and
walked with me.
Right, exactly. And he was wearing a nice white shirt, and he just laid down and died. So
he was just happy to be leaving her.
Yes.
I think that could have been really what was unspoken. Yes.
I gotta go. He said, put on his white shirt, just laid down for the big nap. I think Frank Gifford also wanted Christmas to be every day, if I remember correctly. He was famous for wanting Christmas to be every single day.
What a dick, right?
I mean, he wanted it
to be
that way.
A terrible thing to want.
He was trying to push that message to his kids. They talked about it with their children.
I'd like to be able to add some audio to your reminiscence, but I'm having trouble putting my hands on it.
Kathy Lee Gifford talked to their children about Christmas being every day, and Frank said to his kids, wouldn't you like Christmas to be every day? And
what did they
say? Remember when that happened?
The kids?
Guys got audio from the Hindenburg.
He does.
The Hindenburg broadcast. If I said Hindenburg 20 seconds later, you'd be hearing that dog. But I give him an hour and a half setup for the Frank Gifford freaking Christmas drop, and he can't find it. You know why? You got too much goddamn audio.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
There you go.
Turns out his kids rejected that totally.
No.
Turns out his kids rejected that idea totally. Huh. Real quick, I'd like to make a correction.
Finally, the landing lines are dropped. These scenes were filmed by Pathé News cameraman William D.
Here's the Hindenburg.
And you're about to see the pictures he got when the ship exploded.
All right.
Those aboard leaping for life from a flaming inferno.
Okay,
the actual crash of the Hindenburg.
You have no trouble.
An airship destroyed in less than half a minute.
There it was. Oh, the humanity.
You have it. All right.
I wish I had been on the Hindenburg rather than been doing this showbiz
business. Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
I was talking about the lovely and talented Madeline Stowe last showbiz beat.
Yes.
And I was talking about one of my favorite films of all time that she was in that I could not remember the name of, but at least I got her co-star wrong. So it was not Andy Garcia at all. It was, in fact, Ray Liotta starred in a film with her and Kurt Russell called Unlawful Entry. And they play a young couple who befriends a police officer who takes a shine to the wife, Madeline Stowe, and he starts to insert his way into their lives, making it enormously uncomfortable, especially when he starts threatening them with physical violence and stuff. And who do you go to when the cops are the one giving you the hard time? It's a compelling, terrifying, excellent film. If you've never seen Unlawful Entry, check it out. There was a spate of like bad guy cop movies in the 90s, I remember. There was that in Internal Affairs. You ever see that with Richard Gere?
Yeah, I did see that.
He's like a corrupt cop who sort of runs this little group of cops in L.A. and he keeps working people over and stuff. It's a very, very disturbing time. But I know that's fiction because the men in blue are the finest.
That's correct.
And I fully support them. Except for
Ralph, make your point.
Except for that one dude who kept pulling me over on Highland every morning on the way to work. Like 4 days in a row he kept pulling me over. Because I didn't have a front license plate on my Mustang.
He was doing the right thing.
Yeah. Showed him. Put a license plate in the front of my Mustang.
Wow, you did show him.
See?
Wow, he's crushed.
As I mentioned, Madeline Stowe celebrates her 57th birthday today. As we look at the celebrity birthdays, Dennis Leary's 58. Robert Redford. What a talent. Guy can write, direct, produce, curate. He invented the Sundance Film Institute and the film festival, of course. 79 years old today. I guess most recently we saw him in Captain America Winter Soldier, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. He was the bad. He was Hydra. Edward Norton, 46 years old today. Christian Slater, also 46. Malcolm Jamal Warner, 45 years old today. Andy Sandberg celebrates his 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know what you're all thinking. You're all thinking, when can we meet Beer Mug today?
Well, that's all.
Where do I go
all the time?
And when can I meet Beer Mug?
And does he like beats?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, you know that he likes beats. You already know that.
Oh, that's true.
But the 2015 K-Rock Summer sticker is out now at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Beer Mug will be at the Hot Topic in Glendale. Glendale Galleria.
Love that one.
From 1 to 3. So he's got a bunch of stuff, including tickets to Foo Fighters, Incubus, Deftones, Vance Joy, and a bunch more. Meet him out there. Get your sticker. Fill it in. And you could win a ton of stuff, including seeing Muse in Mexico City and a $500 Hot Topic gift card and more. So 1 o'clock today. Glendale, good luck, everybody.
Glendale!
Brand new Internet Roundup tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Adam Carolla on the program. We have actress Felicia Day on the program. We have Craig Robinson. In studio, who we love so much. And the final pair of tickets, your last chance to win for Mumford & Sons at the Troub tomorrow morning.